Not much. How are you?
I'm doing all right. My pants are off. I'm a lot more cooled off now. I'm feeling better.
Man, I have the worst setup in the world. I sent it to Tim earlier, a picture. Tim, are you there? I don't hear Tim.
Tim Kinney. They're still ringing. And he's gone.
Oh. It's his call failed. Oh, so finally we got rid of that guy. No, I sent him a picture because we've adopted we fostered a kitten. And so in the little room where I'm recording, there's this giant cat cage for this little, and so it smells like litter and cat food in here. So yes. Beautiful setting.
You mean litter and cat piss?
No, it's done pretty well so far. There's not like a ton of bad cat smell. I think it's freshly scooped, but it just looks ridiculous. I've wrote down some notes, and they're sitting on top of the cat cage. So, is Tim there yet?
I'm retrying him real quick. Call failed. Okay. He might have to take his pants off.
Yeah, that seems to be the trick. It seems to work for me. But I will refrain from asking any questions until he comes on, because I'm dying to find out about the hot sauce and the Doctor Who
and the Willie Nelson concert.
Oh yeah, so he was able to perform, because I know I saw on Facebook you said he was sick.
Yeah, well we'll get there. I don't wanna.
Yeah.
I don't want to ruin anything.
Yeah, to do the theaters. I was like, oh no, and Willie Nelson. Oh my god.
Yeah, I got a lot of shit today.
Well, and Tim's got his story of becoming Batman too.
Yes, that's true.
I told him, like, I am totally the weak link. I have nothing to offer today. It's like I'm pretty much already with the cat cage. I don't have anything else.
Well, let me add Timsters. And I think with getting the first thing, fuck man, I think he needs to restart.
Hang on just a sec. I gotta push a door shut too. So hang on, just give me just a second.
By push a door shut, you mean put your bean back into your pants.
Okay, we have the neighborhood kid over, so I don't want to have him come in here or have the door open to hear me saying fuck this. Fuck.
I should be able to get that call in. I got the Skype number, so.
Okay.
I guess what we can do while we're waiting for Tim, we'll go over, like, okay, so, last week I was joking about fixing it in post. Now I'm fucking serious. I can.
I know, now we have to.
Well,
I just reset my timer anyhow, so. Just to, you know, I was trying to. I set a timer last week just so I knew. But yeah, we could definitely. It's not too hard to edit this out on the post.
Oh, dude, hell no. No, I said in that ginormous email, and that's why it's like this is probably not going to make the podcast. That ginormous. Matter of fact, we'll probably just recall and start over. Because Sam is probably restarting. He's dropped off completely.
Okay. Yeah, he's probably.
I didn't mean to like just diarrhea all that information out on a one.
No, that was so awesome. It was funny because like I think it was Friday night. Tim and I were talking, and he's like, "Well, yeah, we could probably put something up on YouTube and some of this," and then I go, "Yeah, it's a good idea." And then I think that night I got the email and I was like, "Awesome!" I was like, I was really impressed. I'm serious. I was like, "That is so awesome."
Well,
by the way, I did go on Facebook and went through my list, and we have some likes for Gonzo guys already.
Nice.
So this morning I think we have we have a few. So yeah, so we can put some stuff up. I just put like a little message of what it was, and then I sent some invites. So you know, so yeah, so yeah, we could just kind of you know.
Well, and we okay, and I was thinking YouTube would probably be better for snippets and shit, and. Actually, when we get to the hot sauce story, I do have a video already uploaded. So, I literally, we got home. We went. Well, I'll tell the story because we made another trip to Goodwill. So, We did that too. So it was a pretty action-packed kind of day. But the time, needless to say, the time was running tight. So I literally, just as you called, was just done uploading the video, and I took pictures. I took pictures on my camera.
Yeah, I saw the one picture you sent me through
email.
Which was cool.
I know, I was muffin topping like a champ.
You were the first person I heard say that, and it's like it's stuck, and now I always whenever I see it, I'm like,
dude, okay, so we'll get Tim on eventually, but I'm still gonna, I might put this in now, because have you ever heard of whale tailing?
No, what's
whale that? Tail is when like a chick with a fat ass has got jeans that are too skinny, you know how they bend over and you got plumber's crack, right? Okay, yeah. Now, like, the women who think they're hot and they wear the shoestring, like, panties.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It looks like a whale tail. So that's why it's called whale tail. And there's already a porno site for whale tailing.
Ooh. There is? Is there a porno site for muffins?
I don't know, but I don't think I want to risk getting a virus during this episode right now.
Have you ever seen someone sent me a link one time, there's a porn site for juggalos, like girls who paint their faces like clowns and
that
stuff.
That would shrivel my dick in half. It would not be into that. No.
Yeah, I don't think that would work for it. But I mean, I'm not gonna say that I didn't look. I mean, you know, they sent me the link for, I'm a scientist, right? You know?
Curiosity did kill the cat, so remember to tell that to your newfound cats. Open the juggler site, kittens.
You'll get a dose of chlamydia. But another one, but you also get some Mountain Dew and Funyuns, too. I just, there's that whole culture is just gross to me.
No, man. Oh, no, juggalos, that's Faygo, dude.
Oh yeah, you're right. It's the thing, and it's interesting because someone wrote an article like in the Kansas City Star like years and years ago, and they talked about all the different cultures and the subdivisions in the Juggalo community, and how they have different names. Like for fat guys, they have a name, and for like skinny guys, and for the girls, and for they have all these subdivisions of Juggalos.
Yeah, they have the gathering of the Juggalos as well.
Right, which just has wrestling and all kinds of stuff, and like that was where that Tila Tequila got stuff thrown at her and stuff when she went on stage.
Stuff like what kind of stuff?
Like bottles and trash, and I think she got hurt. I think it might like cut her. She might have got like a cut or something.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I mean, you know those juggalos, they are discriminating, you know, about their stars. Hey, the juggalos. But so do you? What are you seeing on with? Because Tim, there's this blank.
I don't see Tim online yet. I'm gonna text him the Skype number. He should already have it, but I don't know. So let me put that his way.
Do you think he's having problems with his system? Yeah, I don't have a text or anything from him either. Interesting.
Oh man, the juggalos, fucking. I'm sorry. This can go on Gonzo Guys Extra.
the juggalo porn.
Well, like, there's a documentary about the juggalos I think I saw on MTV, like, in the late 90s when they started to get popular. And
but say what you will about those guys, but that's some brilliant marketing on their part. They were geniuses, because once the Insane Clown Posse that got thrown off of Universal when Disney bought it, they're very sharp businessmen. I mean, I think a lot of
it. Oh, he's back. I'm gonna try to bring him in.
Oh yeah, there
you. You know what? Before I call him, let's find out what kind of his reaction will be once he realizes we're talking about the juggalos.
I just do. Okay. Are you calling it?
Hey, what's up? Hello. Hey, what's up?
Hello.
Not much.
Did you have to whip the hamster into shape to get that up and going?
Which hamster?
For your Skype.
Not too much.
Not too much. I can hear myself back there.
Yeah, you got a little echo right now. And I've got echo.
I don't have any echo.
Is that me? No. Can't be me. Let me see here.
it was interesting. Like, I listened to the first one recorded back, and it was funny because, like, you guys sounded really crystal clear, and I sounded like I was in a bathroom, which is appropriate.
You still do, so.
Awesome. Is it just my system, or what? I mean.
I'm not sure. There we go. I think that's better, Tim. What'd you do? Did you turn down the volume of your Mac?
No, I just fiddle with. I did nothing.
I did nothing.
I did so, nothing. Tim, so we're talking about Juggalos now.
It's already shifting.
We need to trace back how we got there. We need to give him a window into the mind that we were
diving off point to end up at Juggalos.
Oh man. So,
okay, so let's go back. I can't remember.
Okay. No, see, I this is why I'm getting old, and thank God I don't smoke that much pot because I really forget. Let's see, Juggalos.
Juggalo
porn. Oh, Whale Tail.
Yeah, it was. It was okay. Juggalo porn, and then Whale Tail.
It went from Muffin Top.
And then
it went from Muffin Top to Whale Tail to Juggalo porn.
Yeah, because of the picture that I texted at the Hot Sauce Festival. Muffin Top and Big Time, and then Tim and then John had mentioned that ever since I said Muffin Top, and now he pays attention to that.
It stuck in my head, and then he said that there's already a Whale Tail porn site, and then I said, is there a Muffin Top one? And then I said, oh wait, but there's Juggalo porn, so there's gotta be.
Well, no, wait, so you're asking, is there a Muffin Top porn site? The answer to that's probably yeah.
I'm not gonna doubt the power of the collective power of the internet. I'm sure.
Do I shut down my computer and do a type it in on a Google search right now to see?
You can type it in like Skyping. It's not going to stop anything.
Yeah, I mean, if we hear moaning and groanings coming from your end, we'll believe you that it's the computer and not you.
You'll just hear this.
Oh, God. And this is why I put the explicit tag on the iTunes. And that's what we were also talking about. We were talking about the
Boy, that's not a good idea.
Wow.
I just typed in the Google search, and here's the first one says, Chubby Muffin Top Takes a Load. The second one says, Muffin Top Rides and Blows. And then, Analyzing the Muffin Top, Regretful Morning.
Sounds more like a blog.
But you know, the Muffin Top, they have... in the freezer section where they just sell, and it's just called Muffin Top.
Yeah, thanks, Seinfeld.
No, I know. Yeah. It's pretty ridiculous. That's about, 10 years too late? 10, 15 years too late?
Yeah.
Do you think that they tell their people, like, when they're trying to market, you don't think they tell them, yeah, just Google Muffin Top? No, don't Google.
It's not exactly hashtag Muffin Top, right?
That's
no,
dude.
I mean, I had to actually type in Muffin Top porn. I just typed in Muffin Top, right?
This is for now.
Muffin Tops, sexy or just plain wrong? Free dating singles information. Yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, I guess there is.
So we were kind of going over like what we had to bring. So like I had the Hot Sauce Festival, which I barely got in under this last second. I had Doctor Who and Willie Nelson, and also we made a trip to Goodwill. So we did that on the way back. So we're kind of close. And then John and then John's bringing. What are you bringing, John?
Nothing.
Hey, you already brought Juggalo porn. So
Juggalo porn and muffin.
I sent Tim a picture of my recording space with the giant.
There's a giant cat cage and
cat
John,
cage.
John's computer on a little coffee tray.
Because he got new cats. That's what we also talked about.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I'm just glad. I feel like I'm becoming a real technological big boy now because I just sent something. Because normally I'm like, I'm the worst one.
In Skype.
I could do this. I'm seriously in the Stone Age. There's a picture. This one
well done. That Wikipedia picture is amazing.
Oh, now I gotta look.
And it's what's awesome is that. So the whale tail is in low-rise jeans of some lady smoking a cigarette, and then what seems to be either a bar mitzvah going on in the background or something. This is the most amazing Wikipedia picture ever.
those are Amish people or Mennonites.
No, those are his. It looks like his. Oh, you're right. Because I see those are Amish or Mennonites. That's even better.
They don't even believe in whales.
That's a juxtaposition, isn't it?
She looks like she's just sitting there smoking, and she's probably like telling her friend, "Like, look at this dumbasses." And
then like, Bert Miner's going, "Look at this dumbass."
That is amazing.
As I've seen,
they were common. According to this, they were common in the early 2000s. I didn't realize we were going with historical basis.
I especially like the section heading for one of the historical areas called Rise.
And there's a decline as well.
The decline.
Sociocultural analysis. What is
it? It sounds like a class you could take at a liberal arts college.
Is this a class?
Shuffle your way through having an actual education.
I mean, I took pop culture classes at KU, and I don't believe we ever talked about the sociocultural impact of the whale tail.
That was like Lita, and during the WWE, that she was the first one that I remember seeing that a lot. When it started, there really was a time, I think, when it was kind of popular.
Whale tails were common in early 2000s.
It sounds like a dinosaur's walking here. It was common for there to be whale tails.
The concepts of visible panty line, buttock cleavage, and sagging are closely related to the whale tail.
Well, they're cousins.
And it was selected to the American Dialect Society in January 2006 as the most creative word of 2005.
Next stop, Webster's.
We're going to Webster's!
There's a guy who coined that term.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like I told you about that guy, Larry Brinkman, who was in that band, the Hefners. I think, and he claims to this, and I think he may be right, but he phrased the term for hillbillies, boogans.
Boogans.
And I've heard people say it all the time, and people will give him credit. They say, oh, yeah, Larry Brinkman, you said boogans. So, yeah, a boogan.
Coining a word.
Yeah. Would that be on a bucket list for either of you guys?
Coining a word?
Yeah.
I feel like in some way I already have. Right.
What would it be?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
Hobnobbers? No.
No, hobnobbers. Cobnobblers, I've heard that. I used to have this shirt from CZ Records I bought when I was in Seattle like a million years ago, like during the grunge time, around 94. And they had this girl, Jessica, I think it was Jessica Hopper. She made like this, when grunge was really popular, like somebody like Time or some contact her to go, tell us something about the lingo. And so she made up all these phrases. And one of them was cobnobbler. And like gave them definitions, and they actually believed it, printed it, so they kind of look like stooges. But they had a shirt.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I wish I still had that shirt. I'm probably way too fat to wear that shirt now. It'd be a tube top. That's a Seattle grunge tube top. So where do we want to jump off? Because
the bat story. Like, there's a bat story.
Yeah.
The
real Batman.
My wicked, quick learning and education in the world of rabies and bats.
Oh. And how many more shots do you have left?
I gotta get one tomorrow, and I gotta get another one a week from
Tuesday. We're starting with this. Like, I will talk about, like, the happy stuff, but I want to hear about the nightmare you had. Right. How miserable are you today?
We'll call this Enter the Bat Cave.
The Bat Wings.
Bat Wings.
You know what bat wings are, right?
Yes.
Can I text you guys a picture?
I don't need any further illustrations.
I don't think I need to have that close.
You'll have to get more shots.
All right.
Let's get more shots just from looking at the picture. Shots
in the mouth.
Different kinds of shots.
In the mouth.
I know you catch the clap from looking at a picture.
Take it on the chin, Rocky. Take it on the
tomato.
Sorry, go ahead.
So last Sunday, I'm going upstairs to go to bed, and I come out of the bathroom, and I see something out the corner of my eye. I think it's a big moth kind of zip across the upstairs hallway, and I thought, boy, that's an awfully big moth. And then it zipped back across the hallway, and I thought, well, and part of me knew it was a bat, and part of me's like, it's just a bird. It's just a bird. Don't worry, it's just a bird.
It's just a bird. Just a little dark bird.
It's just a little bird that makes no sound and looks like a bat when it's flying. And then it decided to go ahead and fly into Rebecca's office while she was working.
I bet that was fun.
Well, it started, she didn't notice it at first because they really are really quiet. And then it was just flying around in circle in tandem with the ceiling fan.
Oh,
and then I was, and she kind of peeked her head out because I went, when I realized it was a bat. And I don't know if I ducked or ran and ducked or did whatever I did. Rebecca's like, I've never seen you move like that. So apparently I was terrified in some fashion. But
did
I squatted.
You scream? Did you scream?
No, I just went, that's my noise when I see something like that.
I've heard that noise
before. And I said, that's a bat. And she's like, what? And I said, did you know it's just a bird or something? Like, no, it's bats right above you.
Very matter of fact.
And she's like, I gotta work. So,
I've gotta work.
I'm like, well, come out of there. And once it comes out, you can go back in and shut the door, and I'll figure out what I'm gonna do with it. And so it's flying around and upstairs, and we have a door that goes up to our attic. And I thought, you know, maybe I can get to go. I'll open the door, flies in the attic, I can shut the door. It's pretty sealed up. It'll be trapped up there. I can call somebody tomorrow, and they'll come get it. And so I open the door. I'm kind of peeking out of our bedroom because it was bouncing around quite a bit out there. And so I was like, I don't want to get in the bedroom. So I'll shut the bedroom door. I'm in there, and I kind of open the door, and I swear it was waiting for me to crack open the door. Right at me. And I was like, and I slammed the door shut.
Wait, you slammed, so you trapped it in the bedroom?
No, I think it's back. I thought I saw it come at the door, and I was sure, okay, it's coming at, so I see it, and I shut the door really quick. And I'm thinking the attic door is open, so I get that open and I send him. And he just flies around. I don't see him for a while. And I think, okay, he went up in the attic, so I shut the attic door. We look around the upstairs, make sure he's not around. And
are you guys having? I'm sorry, my feet keeps coming in and out.
I hear you. I've been hearing you.
Yeah, right. Have you? Been,
okay,
have
good.
You...
Sorry, it just keeps dropping out. I should probably.
Quit you did this. Earlier for just like half a second, but
yeah,
it,
yeah, it just. Did it again. So okay, sorry, go ahead.
So the bat's flying around, so it's up in the attic. We think, we check everywhere, we don't see it. Of course, it's little when it hangs upside down, so we think it's up in the attic. I thought, just in case it's not, when we go to bed, I left the bedroom door shut. I'm like, just in case when we go to bed, we'll shut the door, and then we know it's not in the bedroom because I never let it in there. Well, apparently I did let it in there. That, or it got out and it crawled under our door, which they can do.
Oh,
They crawled underneath like that.
There's a gap. Yeah, they'd only need like half an inch to get in. Mm. And so that's kind of creepy. They crawl in the door. So anyway, we turn off the lights. We have a window unit going because it's warm upstairs. We have the ceiling fan on. And I'm still wired from the bat being around. And Rebecca goes to sleep. And I'm starting to go to sleep, but I just can't keep being wired. Every little noise kind of triggers me. But then I realize I keep hearing this noise, and it's not a regular noise. And there's a lot of noise with the air conditioner and everything, so I was like, no.
Your wife, it was your wife farting.
No.
Was it like...
No, I was like, that kind of sounds like flapping.
Well, yeah. It could be farting still.
But anyway, so I'm like, okay, now I'm pretty sure it's in the room. But I have no light on my side of the bed. So I'm like, Rebecca's asleep. I'm like, hey, wake up. I need to turn the light on. She's like, what? I'm like, turn the light on. She's like, well, why don't you turn the light on? I'm like, because it's in here. She's like, what's in here? And I said, just turn the light on.
It's underneath the covers, and it looks like a penis.
With veins.
I think you should grab it. Yeah, you should grab it.
I don't grab
it. The trigger into grabbing it. I think that's it. She beats it with a broom.
Why does she have a broom in bed?
Why not?
So we turn the light on. That thing is doing circles right above our bed. And at that point, we both hover out of the room. And we may have just phased out of reality for a second and appeared in the hallway. But so it's out. It's in our bedroom. We open the door out in the hallway. We, you know, trying to figure out what happened to it. It obviously didn't go in the attic. So we kind of go downstairs, and I open this hallway window to get it out of the house. Because they say, whenever I looked it up, it said, you know, try to open a window or something and see if it'll go out. And so I open this window, it's flying around, it bounces, and it's obviously looking for a way out. So I figure it went out the window because it disappears. again. We know it's not in the room this time. Shut the window. Go to bed. We haven't seen any bat. Didn't hear anything the rest of the night. I get up in the morning after not sleeping very well. I look up the bat thing. It's like, if you encounter a bat in your bedroom where you were asleep or may have been asleep, it's recommended that you get the post-exposure prophylaxis rabies vaccinations. I was like, oh, God dang it.
Now, did you find any bat shit anywhere?
No. Typically, they will only poop where they roost, which is where they hang upside down.
But he was hanging upside down.
Down by our basement. But
yeah, sorry. I jumped the story. Sorry.
They usually only poop where they roost. So the next day, while we were trying to wait for the doctor to call us back to see if we need to get shots and stuff, we were like, let's go look in the attic and see if there's any more. Maybe it was a different bat. So we don't see anything in the attic. Our attic's not a super airtight, but we don't see any evidence of like bat shit anywhere. And I guess it's pretty prevalent if you have a colony in your house. There's usually a big pile of bat crap.
Bat guano.
So we don't see any bat guano. We come back downstairs. We think the bat went out the window, which we're pretty good about, but then we're just trying to decide, do we really need to get the shots? Rebecca keeps asking me. Well, basically, you don't have to get them if you don't think you've encountered, if it doesn't touch you, or you didn't, if you didn't touch it, or you didn't, if it encounters you at all, it doesn't have to bite you, but if you touch it at all, because the saliva passes the disease if they have it. And in fact, as most bats don't have it, but the 10% who do that's the one. They're the kind of the most common culprits that give rabies to people. So we kind of settle on it, decide that we're gonna have to get the shots. And
well, but also, didn't you said that like if you do get rabies, that it's you go crazy. You said it's like really painful.
It's not a good way to go out. And the other thing is the by the time you exhibit the signs of having rabies, there's absolutely nothing they can do for you, and it's like 99.9% fatal. One person survived it, and they weren't quite right.
So really what they're saying is that much like dogs that get rabies, they have to take you out back and shoot you.
If you get it, they basically all they do is kind of sedate you and let you check out.
They have, but the good thing is that movie Old Yeller, remember when he shoots the dog at the end, that kid, he was so traumatized by doing that movie that's what he does for a living. When people don't get
the shoots people dead?
yeah. He's licensed to kill. What? He's kind of old now. No, I'm just joking.
That sounds like a pretty cool job. I mean,
you look like
you imagine like he only has to work about four times a year, but those days were really hard.
He just walks into people. It's like, I think you have rabies. Click.
Like, not everyone has rabies, Bob.
I'm pretty sure they do.
They will.
I remember on my grandma's farm, like animals get rabies. It was mainly it would be the cats that would get them. And skunks get rabies a lot. They have it a lot, don't they?
They're the bigger carrier, but most people don't encounter skunks for obvious reasons.
Why not?
People seem to be less terrified of like handling bats than they do of like getting showered in skunk stink.
Have you ever been sprayed by a skunk?
I have
twice.
So what you're saying is that you actually have rabies.
Maybe. I was the guy who's not quite right.
I was the one guy that survived. You guys got me.
It's like having like your hillbilly card.
Skunk.
You know what? It was one time, but I remember like our dog got sprayed by it. But I remember like I was pretty young because they have to put tomato juice on you. That's what takes out the stink of skunks. Ugh. Yeah, it is. It's. I don't remember but I remember like one was just a little bit like. But one, I remember we got blasted. But we were always horsing around at my grandma's farm. But I remember our dog got it several times. But I also remember the gal on the farm. Like there are a lot of the animals they did it. Then my dad, I remember before it's had to shoot some of the cats and stuff out there, like the wild cats, because not wild cats, like big ones, but like tomcats, because and they referred to it that. The phrase that they used was brown medicine, and I don't know why. And that meant shooting it, something out in the farm. You would say, oh, I got to give it some brown medicine, and that's what it
meant. Well, that sounds like something you would take at the gathering of the juggalos.
It's a brown medicine, man.
If you encounter a bat in your bedroom and you don't get the shots and you're wrong, you basically get God's brown medicine.
Wow.
Man. Well, I guess, I mean, Hokie, would you have gotten the shots, or would you have gambled?
I don't know. I probably would have gotten the shots. Better safe than sorry.
Are you scared of shots? Are either of you guys scared of shots? Or
no, dude, I have pinhole burns to show you. I mean, it's there. It's in my arms. Not from addictions or anything, because I have never done any of that stuff. But in my college days, I was so broke, I would donate plasma pretty much every Friday.
Oh, okay.
Which is amazing, because it was in Manhattan, Kansas, so you didn't have to worry about hanging out with junkies like you would, say, in, like, Kansas City, Missouri. Yeah.
Right. So it was just a bunch of college guys trying to get beer money for the weekend.
It was awesome, too, because I was a completely cheap date after that. Like, I would... Maybe once I passed out on the floor in there, and they gave me, like, some stale cookies and orange juice, but I would take my 20 or 30 bucks I would get from that, and I would be, like, dehydrated pretty much because they took out my plasma. And I would go get McDonald's, eat that, have a soda, and then go to the bar, and all I would really need is, like, 3 drinks, and then I would be toasty for the rest of the night. That was my Friday nights, especially in my later years of college. I would go donate plasma, and then I would take, and then drink. And it would be, like, the most...
They give you 20 bucks for that?
20 to 40. It depends on, like, it rotates. Like, it's weird. I don't know. I don't remember how much I got. I know it was at least 20, and sometimes it was, like, 40 or 60. And,
wow.
Yeah, it was, I was a cheap date. It was awesome.
That's not a bad way to do it. I mean, well, and then when they take the blood, it has to spin it through, like, a centrifuge and everything. So is that why it takes a while, too, doesn't it?
Yeah,
like
so what they do, is that they pump the blood out into this container, they do a bunch of shit, and then they return the blood back into you.
Oh.
They take all the good
through your bottle.
Yes.
They take all the good stuff out of your blood.
And then they put the crap back in.
Wow. I didn't...
Yeah.
Tim, did you ever do that? Did you ever donate plasma?
I never did plasma. I've donated blood.
But you've also done this. You've also done the test studies, though, too, the weekends.
Oh, yeah. I kind of forgot I did those.
Oh, I did.
I was a professional guinea pig for quintiles for a while. And depending on the study, you might get a lot of sticks or blood draws. And one of them, I looked like a junkie when I came out because they stuck you, like, I went in for a weekend, like, for 3 or 4 days. And I think they drew blood every 2-3 hours. And I had, I had probably 15, 20 sticks.
Wow.
So get a shot.
That's what we ought to do. If we can do this like a regular podcast, we'll do an on location where we'll all go to quintiles. Spend a weekend having drug testing done. We'll do a live show.
They give you a little TV that's hooked to your bed. You pull it down. You can watch cable. We have Risk in the game room. There's usually a game of Risk going.
Center of Catan.
The professional drug testers would bring their Xboxes and Nintendos and things.
Yeah, I remember when I was like, I guess, I don't know, this is probably like 93, 94, I used to read that magazine Dirt, which was like the boy version of Sassy. And they had a an article in there, a guy talked about, yes, I just said boy version of Sassy.
Yeah. Wow.
It's a good magazine. Spike Jones was one of the writers, you know, the video guy. But they had an article in there about it. They talked about the guy who was doing professional testing. And at that time, it was kind of an underground thing, but there was kind of like a whole network of it where people would, you know, like had like phone, like these files and stuff, and they would send to one another. And so it was always kind of interesting to me that it was like there were people, that's all they did. They didn't even have real jobs. They just did that. So,
wow.
If you can travel around, you can make a living doing it, but they will give you all kinds of medicine and lock you in. I mean, it's just like being in jail. You're in a bed, and it's kind of like being in a mental institution, I guess, more so, because you're in your pajamas and slippers for like 4 days at a time, and you know, if your heart rate goes up too much, they come and check on you.
So they're monitoring.
Yeah, usually you're pretty much hooked to something. They know what you're up to at any given time.
Wow.
Because every now and then they toss a couple people for going after some nookie.
Oh wow! In different you can't. I guess you can't have sex in the medical facility.
They don't like you to do that. They keep you gender separated, but sometimes people would like meet up in places and sneak around.
It is a complete underground. That is crazy.
I never really understood like how much of, and didn't they gave a lot of them a placebo too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Like some people just get a sugar pill and other people are, I mean.
Well, I had to drink ones. They were doing a sleep aid once and they were trying this liquid form for whatever reason. And they brought one of those little brown drug bottles.
They gave you brown medicine is what they're trying to say?
See what this does.
don't sign up for that trial.
It's a short trial. And at like 5:30 in the morning, they're like, here, drink this right now. Drink it. It's like, and they're like shoving it in your mouth. So you're kind of like,
And it was one of your roommates, and it was his wiener.
It was brown medicine, indeed.
It was Puerto Rican brown medicine.
Lexington steals brown medicine.
It's white medicine.
It's white medicine. Well, you could get the white medicine or the brown medicine.
Yesterday just tasted like rubber tires. Today it kind of tastes kind of salty.
It tastes like pineapple.
Much like some of the hot sauce I had today.
Tastes like pineapple?
And brie cheese.
brie cheese and bleach. That's my favorite flavor. God, sorry, I just made myself sick.
So you got a couple more shots left, and then that's it. Why do you have to go in for multiple rounds? I thought it would just be like shots.
Well, it's kind of like basically, let's say you're a vet, and the vets get kind of a pre-exposure series where they, because they're gonna, chances are you're a vet, you're gonna encounter some kind of rabid animal at some point. Basically, you can get, it's like a hepatitis vaccine or anything else. There's a series. Like some vaccines require you go get a couple shots over a certain number of days. In this case, rabies, you have to do like 4 shots over so many days. It used to be 6, I think, over so many days, but they cut that back down to 2 a couple of years ago. But basically, we had to go in, since we were a post-exposure, we have to get the rabies series like it was preventative. Plus, until our own immunity kicks in from our vaccinations, they give you the human immune globulin for rabies. It's the RHI. I can't remember what it's called, but they basically, the rabies human immunoglobulin, and it basically gives you instantaneous protection. It is pumpy full of antibodies. It's the human antibody against rabies. And that is, and they do it by weight. And so to give you that, it's such a large amount for an adult that they can't just give you one shot like in the arm or the butt or anywhere because it won't absorb fast enough. So they have to split it up across your muscles.
Wow. It's like adamantium or something.
So you have to get a shot in the arm for the vaccine. You get another. Then they're like, okay, well, we got to do the immunoglobulin, and it's going to be a few shots. They said a few first. And then I see them set up a tray, and I see 7 shots on the tray. And so they give me the rabies vaccine. They hit my other arm with the immunoglobulin. Then they hit me 3 times in the left thigh with the immunoglobulin and 2 on the right.
Ooh, did you have to drop your pants?
No, I had my shorts. I pulled up my shorts. They said you can do them in the leg, or we can do them in the top of your butt, like by your lower back. And I'm like,
your perineum? Did they shoot you in the perineum?
In the gooch?
Oh God, no! I was like, well, God, please don't say you have to give him like an anus or something.
Oh, dude, that would be so awesome. I guess this shows that I did have the brown medicine, or I should have had the brown medicine, but you give me the chance of having the arm or the butt, I take the butt because I just want to make them uncomfortable.
Because most people, they're used to people being all awkward, and you would just drop trial and be like, ta-da!
I'm not like an expert, but you know what, I had a recent kind of health kind of scare thing, and I am so over after this. Like, I had 2 weeks in a row where I had my junk exposed and fondled, and it was just kind of like, yeah. I mean, the fact that it was like, I said, no matter what the results come out, I just want to have a week when some strange woman is not handling my cock and balls.
And probably shot of the old brown eye.
No, I don't think there was any Brown. Yeah.
If she was in the Gooch land, she wasn't that far off from Brownsville.
Well, no, I mean, but the Gooch part was it was standing, so they were kind of reached under. But the disturbing part was how expertly that, like, because it was kind of cold and I was kind of scared and I had kind of the Yertle the Turtle with the wiener going. and how amazingly and precisely she just took two fingers and just pushed down and boop. It just kind of like pop goes the weasel.
I had a couple weeks like, ago. Good. So like since we're still talking about buttholes, I had.
Still?
I know, right? Surprise!
This is the secret topic, actually.
I had. I went on a tubing trip. They call it tubing down here, right? So I did that for like the day after my birthday, and we went down the river, you know, and I got wasted the whole day, right? So we went to Lockhart to get some Black's barbecue, and we had like $40 worth of meat in our face, and we had leftovers. It was pretty good, a little salty.
$40 of meat smelled like brie cheese.
That's right. It was some good dark meat. So I'm still in my swimming trunks. I had like river water on me. I get home. I'm like, you know, baked from the sun and way too drunk. And I fell asleep and I didn't take a shower until like 11 o'clock at night. So pretty much the whole day I had river water on me. The next day I wake up and gradually like my balls and my butthole started itching. Like
I was gonna say they fused together.
No, although the mesh from the swimming trunks was.
Oh, that's.
I hate it. Dried up and it stuck. It hurt when I peeled it off. And but after a couple days, because I you know I'm in workout regimen and all that other stuff. So like, you know, after a couple days, like my balls and my butthole would just itch like at work, and like while I was working out, I would just be scratching my ass. I would like. You know how I was even extra happier to go to the bathroom because then I know I would be able to itch my butthole with the crappy toilet paper at work, the one that really does scratch. So, I was looking forward to that. And
you're the first person in the history of the world who's looked forward to really awful toilet paper.
It felt so good.
It's just like, oh, it's like sandpaper. I know.
I know. And so finally, after about a week, I started getting freaked out. And finally, I went to the doctor, and I dropped trowel as well, and I had and it was a lady doctor too. They're like, "Are you sure it's a lady? Are you sure? Are you okay with a lady doctor?" I'm like, "Everything's on fire down there. I don't care who sees it. I need to find out what the hell's going on." I go in there and then drop trowel, and she like you know loops up the gloved fingers, and she sticks.
Whoa.
She sticks two into the Brownsville, and
next stop, Brownsville Station.
Ding, 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 ding. Before
he's getting all flustered. Okay,
before
you have an erection right
no,
now.
No, but I didn't have a chance to use the bathroom before. So in the middle of this thing, I was a little worried that I would actually like poop on her fingers or something.
You know what? I told Tim this too. Like the older I get, like if I get really relaxed, like if I'm just about to fall asleep, sometimes I feel my butt kind of go, and I'm like, oh no! And like when I get to be like in my 60s, if I get to live that old, I'm gonna be a pooping pants kind of old man. I'm for sure. So
I'm laying on my side on this table with my ass, and I'm like, I'm telling her, I gave her all the information beforehand. You know, and then she was like checking stuff, and I'm like, "Well, I just want to let you know that I kind of think I have to use the bathroom, so I just want to warn you ahead of time." She's going in there, and she's like feeling around, and at that point, it gets the same sensation that I get, you know, when you feel when you're actually pushing poop out of your anus, and I'm like, seriously, I was out loud. I was telling her, I was like. Yeah, I think it's coming. I just want to. And she got done, and I'm like, I was expecting some kind of like material, and nothing came out, which was a great relief. I mean, you want to talk about being past awkwardness? I was past awkwardness.
What would you have done if she would have said, "I could see that you had some barbecue recently"?
I would be like, that's actually what I told her too. I told her I had barbecue, I was swimming. I don't know.
Oh, she.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know why, but it just. I don't, and she's like, yeah, you did barbecue. Turns out, I actually had a yeast infection down there because
in your
bottom. In my bottom and on my wing, and
okay.
I mean, it wasn't of the sexual kind. It was because I was an idiot and I was.
Section.
And I was like, I'm going to go into river water where everyone is drinking beer and peeing in the river. And and I was too drunk to even care to take a shower to get home, and I didn't do that. We took a 2-hour detour to eat some really good barbecue, and all of a sudden it's all tried. And so I didn't poop on the doctor. It's a good – I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my anus. And I – I had to
brown star.
Exactly, I get a brown star for the day, and I ended up having to like apply some antifungal cream. So I went out and got a box of my own gloves, and then I also had to get some Gold Bond. So I
Gold Bond's amazing though.
I kind of started liking it to the middle of it because it felt you know how you smell mint. It felt. Like, you eat mint ice cream.
It tingles. It's good
and
stuff.
It felt pretty good, so I'm enjoying the Gold Bond. So, about 2 weeks of doing that, and I got all cleared up. So, I guess the lesson is if you don't want to, where Tim was like, hey, you know, you want to be preventative after you experience something crazy, you also probably want to be preventative when you get your junk exposed to nasty water. You might want to take a shower as soon as possible instead of waiting.
Well, especially when you've been basting and marinating in men's piss and women's pee in the river and beer and that's the health tip. It's like, okay, if a bat's in your room, get shots. If you've been soaking in beer and piss,
take a shower.
Shower as soon as you can, even if.
So this podcast could go in the health category now, right?
Yeah.
I feel like after we talked about that and we classified whale tails and then we talked about donating blood and plasma, it's the health episode.
Yeah, I mean 36 minutes in, this is a lot of really good information. Mm-hmm. Like we're hitting on all cylinder boys.
That's right. So among other, so the bat, is the bat gone? What'd you do to the bat again? I missed.
Yeah, so we go get our shots on the Monday, and we get a bunch of shots. It's all right, it's not as bad as I thought they were. Rebecca doesn't care for shots, but we get the shots. We come back, and we figured the bat's gone. We haven't seen him. We look around, make sure we're not seeing him anywhere. Check all the rooms. We don't see him. The one place I didn't look was the stairs that go down to our basement. I didn't think anything about it. We were exhausted. We'd been up all night.
Is that the same area where you guys hid in for the possible tornado?
Yeah.
Not quite all the way in the basement. This is the stairs that go down to the basement.
Oh, and let me add, too, that wasn't a possible. It was a It actually did come through, and it just kind of it just took like a left turn by your neighborhood, didn't it?
It swung around and went around the city for whatever reason.
It was there.
We were gonna die if it hit. So,
well, we would.
That's according to the weathermen. They said we were going to die. So we were in our. That was the shelter room. This wasn't quite all the way in the shelter area, and so I'm going to go to bed, and I feel like in all the distraction of the bats and the rabies and whatnot, that I'd forgotten to like turn the dryer on from earlier.
Oh,
and I did
wow.
With the clothes. So I'm like, I better go down and start the dryer. So I head on down to the basement, come around the corner, and sure enough, boom, there's Mr. Bat.
Now, is it just one or like a family?
This is just one. You can have just one or you can have family. Usually when they get in your house, they're sick or something, but they can also fly into your house when they're out catching bugs, which is what we think how he came in. We were out Sunday night putting up this canopy thing that Rebecca was going to use for a show, and we were in and out the back door a lot, and we have a ton of mosquitoes in the backyard. And so I think he was eaten, flew in the house. We did our little adventures that first night. So I come around, I'm like, oh, man, I'm tired. Got shots. My legs are all stiff. And here's the bat. And I'm like, God damn it. So you're supposed to try to – by the way, you're also supposed to try to catch a bat if you find them in your house so they can get tested.
With a net? Do you have to wear safari gear while you're doing it? I mean –
You could actually net a bat pretty easy because they.
Wow,
they,
I have never like I don't own a net, so I feel like I have to go get one now.
That was the problem we ran into is we had no bat catching equipment.
Well, that we do actually
have a bat,
and I'm not even joking. Not bat catching equipment, but Alex went through a phase where not a phase, but I mean he's still kind of in it where he would collect bugs. And he was really into, like, you know, bug catching and nature stuff. So we have this kit from, like, the Discovery stores, you know, where it has, like, little nets to catch things in and little vacuum things. So we probably could have vacuumed up the bat.
I don't know if you could have vacuumed up the bat with a bug vacuum, but...
No, it's a big one. We've got a really big one.
Yeah, well, maybe. But I guess I could have used the vacuum on him. But he, basically, they're pretty quiet until you start poking at them.
Yeah, as you found out.
And then they started squealing and hissing and stuff, and I think that's usually a bad sign. But he was hanging there on the wall, and so I go back up and tell Rebecca I found the bat, and it's right across from the door to the outside. So I pop open that, we get downstairs, and I'm like, we take a picture of it because it was there. And they say you should knock it, you can just get a little stick and knock them off the wall. And I guess people know this. They will if they don't know you're coming, they'll just fall to the ground, and it looks like they're dead. And then you get your stick, and if you're me, you kind of they're on its steps. You couldn't really put a box on them or anything to cover them up. And I'm trying to push him down to the landing, so I start to kind of push on him, and then he starts squealing and hissing, and that is freaky sound. But I get him down to the bottom level, and then Rebecca's going to go down and put a box on him because she just wants to go to bed. And I'm like, I was like, I'll do it, but I don't want to. She's like, I don't care. I want to go to bed. And so she goes down there to get the box on him. No, you know, no biggie for her. And as soon as she gets to the bottom, he starts taking off from the floor. And he's making little circles, and it's a really narrow stairway and a little narrow landing, and the door is shut to the other part of the basement. So she runs back up the stairs.
And you trapped her down there and said, see you later, bitch.
Oh, wow.
And ran screaming up the stairs. Ah!
No, but I did open the door, and I went outside.
Wow.
And I'm like, I'm like, just stay low up the stairs and go outside or go upstairs, you know, away from the basement. And we'll see if he's flying. We thought, well, he'll come up. The door's too big of a target. He'll get the air. He'll go out. And they say most of the time they want to get out of your house. So he comes up the stairs. He does a couple turns. I'm afraid he's going to fly back up into the main part of the house, which makes it a whole nother long evening. He does. He makes a couple circles. He goes out the door. I physically stand there to watch him fly down the driveway to make sure he actually left. We shut the door, we come in, we go to bed. The thing is, we could have caught him, but we'd already gotten the shots. So if they test him and he has rabies, all they would have had to do is the shots that we already did. So
what stopped you from just killing him? What stopped you from just taking that broom or whatever
it was? He doesn't do anything. He's just being a bat.
Yeah, but I mean, at that point, it's just like, all right, I'm really kind of tired of this. I'm afraid that I would have, I mean, I'm not like a killer. Like
I would have hit his way. If I'd accidentally killed him or crushed him or something, they wouldn't have kept me up at night. Yeah. But he's just a bat, and they do have, like in most states, it's illegal to kill him because they do provide a lot of, you're not allowed to kill bats on
places.
What about
like defending your house?
The rabies. Yeah, and the rabies and all that.
They're pulled against you if you kill them. And when you go to get them tested, they die anyway, but... like, if you found bats in your house, you're supposed to have them removed, not, like, killed. And I don't know who gets... Some poor schmo gets that job, but...
Billy the Exterminator.
Because the Exterminator, even then, they won't always kill them. They'll just trap them, and they take them out in the woods and let them go.
Well, I think Billy... You know who Billy the Exterminator is, don't you, Tim?
He probably does that.
He probably captures those animals and stuffs them up his butt.
Who is Billy the Exterminator?
Is this guy on A&E? See, Hokie, you're like the smart one where you get all your TV online and everything, so you don't.
Right.
Oh, I mean, sorry. I mean, but no, you don't have TV
channels.
I get it over the air.
Legal,
right?
Yeah. Right. But you're probably not have to see as much crap. But there was this show on A&E where there's this guy. It's in Florida, I think.
It's down south Louisiana.
Is it Louisiana? Okay. But it's this guy who's like long streaky hair and he kind of looks like an old butt rocker kind of thing, but he's an exterminator. He's Billy the Exterminator, and he goes around and he'll catch gators, he'll catch raccoons,
snakes, bees, wasps, whatever it might be.
It all ends up.
That's one theory.
That's just my theory. I'm just working.
But anyway, I guess the bats. They do serve. They eat a lot of bugs and mosquitoes. And when you have a West Nile thing, you want a lot of animals eating the mosquitoes.
Oh,
So, and most of the time they don't come in your house. They typically don't. I mean, they might set up a shop in your attic, but they typically don't come into a living space.
We have West Nile mosquitoes all over the place here. They've actually, the local people here in Austin, like the cops, I think the cops, either someone, like the cops or the 9/11 saying, stop calling in about mosquito bites, okay?
Oh, yeah. Really? People are calling 9/11?
Because we have explicit tagged this podcast, for fucking mosquito bites. And they're actually flying planes in Dallas and spraying, like, areas in Dallas. They're like, flying over and spraying Dallas.
The thing is, if you get bit with a West Nile thing, one, a lot of people get it and then nothing bad happens to them. They might feel a little sick for a few days, kind of like a flu, and then they're fine.
My dad had a friend who got sick. West Nile. Yeah, he got really sick. I mean, some people, yeah, that's right.
Some people get it. Some people get bit by West Nile. They have no effect from it whatsoever. Some people get a little bit sick, and some people get really, 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 really sick. And some people die. But there's nothing they can do to treat. Once you have it, if you got 50 bites last night and you got it, calling 911 ain't going to make you not have it.
No, in fact, I read online because I've been bit all the hell. We got this water retention pond, so like if it rains just a little bit, it's like a festering, like it's like a fucking Club Med for mosquitoes. So I've been bit like 5 or 6 times. I'm like, shit, do I really need to worry about it? So I read about it and I was like, okay, 1 in 5 people get it. And of that, like 1% of that will be serious. So it's like, okay, fuck. It's not that big. It's just for old and weak people. And honestly, who cares if they die? So, you know, it's just God's, another way for God to deliver that.
Weeding out.
Yeah, another way for him to deliver that brown medicine. So.
But I got a mosquito bite when I was a kid. Like we went to which is I never remember this. Which is the Disney that's in Florida?
I don't.
Disney what?
World.
World. Okay. We went to Disney World and my family. God, my hillbilly card is in full effect so far. But, we didn't get hotel rooms. We camped at KOA Campgrounds and we drove from Kansas to Florida, and. Somewhere along the way, like on one of the campsites, I got a mosquito bite on my 4-year-old Wang. And it was bad too. And I just remember the humiliation. And then my mom was like, well, you can't. And she had to put stuff on it. And she said, and I couldn't. She said, well, you're going to have to sleep naked because you can't have any clothes on. And I threw a fit. It was just screaming. And I just remember crying, going, I don't want to sleep naked.
Aha! So from last week, now we know why.
Yeah. Yeah, I just thought about that. It's all connected.
Yes, you had a traumatic experience with your Wang and medicine earlier, and now you feel like you have to wear clothes while you sleep.
Yeah, just to protect. And my grandpa had my grandpa Orville had some sort of. I'm trying to think.
Love
of
your
what...
grandpa's name, by the way.
Oh yeah, well his brother's name was Wilbur.
Are you related to the Redenbachers? Yeah.
Well, no, their last name was Willauer. So it's like the ultimate, and I loved my grandpa was like the greatest, but it was like, that's like the ultimate old, like, name. They don't have names like that. We're like Orville Willauer. Like that just says like, I'm a burly guy who will kill you with my bare hands.
Well, not to get too off track, you don't hear ladies called as like Blanche or Esther anymore.
Yeah, and even Candace is kind of going.
And I would die a happy man if I would go to one gentleman's club and have the greasy announcer guy announce Esther on the stage.
Two hands together make a nice sound for Esther.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, Blanche.
And then you hear the flapper music. Dun, 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 dun. She comes out naked doing the flapper.
Literal thing. Flappers. Man,
double
that's
flapper.
Right. I would die a happy man if I could go to a titty bar and like.
See, what is with this gentleman's club? There's no gentleman here. Gentleman presidents.
So,
which a good. So, yeah, but he had a story of I don't know if it's him or if it was one of his friends, but they had some sort of a procedure where their wang got really swollen from the procedure. And the guy said to the doctor, he kind of winked and he said about it, goes, "Hey, doc, there's $20 in it if I can keep the swelling." But it's true. I don't remember. I'll have to ask my dad to get clarification on that.
When I was really young, I scalded my wang in the bathtub.
Ooh. What happened? Did like the
water you accidentally turn on or something?
Hot water burn baby.
Yeah, and it burnt my wang, and I have a scar on it right now. As a matter of fact.
Whoa. Is it like Harry Potter? You have like a lightning bolt on your wiener.
It's kind of a straight line. I don't know if I burn it on the faucet. I don't know what the hell I was doing, but I was doing it. I was being a dumb little kid, and I remember it hurt really bad. And that's about it.
In other news, Yertle the turtle just.
Yeah. No, that,
I'm scared. Turtle. I have fear penis now.
Turtle.
Just crawled right up. It's like, ooh, burned it up.
No. Going back to my cave.
I didn't know. You know, this is what else is great about this. This is kind of like a fact-finding mission amongst three friends, too. Right. I did not know about that.
I did not know about your traumatic penis incident. Now it's your traumatic penis incident. That's
we're bonding over penis.
I believe those are called TPIs. Yeah. But...
So it sounds like you got the bat situation.
Bat gone, shots done. It's something. I can get mauled by a lot of woodland critters without too much fear. Although the whole catch is, I get bit by something with rabies today. I still have to go get two shots. Even vets, like they get bit by a rabid dog, even though they're up to date on their rabies shots, they still have to go get a shot in by the wound. Oh. So like, if you get bit by a dog, when they go in to give you rabies stuff, they're going to stick it right in the wound.
Oh, okay. Don't get bit by dogs.
Try to avoid that.
You know, my dad had that. Tim, I don't know if you know this story, but my dad has a giant scar on his hand from when a drug sniffing dog bit him. Ooh. When he was doing a story, and it split his hand, like, from, like, the index to the wrist, almost.
Well, the drug sniffing dog probably had it shot, so.
Well, yeah. But it had some sort of a brain tumor, because they destroyed the dog. They cut its head off, and they tested its, you know, it had some sort of, like,
That was just your dad, though.
Yeah. He did it with his car keys. It took about two
not piss off John's dad.
Yes. Especially when he has car keys handy.
Oh, but he used to always put them in his ears to clean his ears. Yeah, my dad.
They're all sharp and
waxy. My dad liked to pick his nose hairs and dig in his ears with his keys.
That is old dad. That is old dad action right there. Like they were the first ones to employ. There, I think dads were the only ones that actually used the toothpick. Swiss Army knives. Like I never used that shit. I had a Swiss Army knife. I'm like, what the hell? Why the hell would I need a corkscrew for something? You know, I never used in the scissors. Scissors were lame.
Yeah.
But the dads, every dad would always use the toothpick.
You know, because it's sanitary.
Of course. Yes.
Well, my dad was a big toothpick.
Lint, sand, and other shit that ends up in your pocket will no way come in contact
with that. Toothpicks.
You what? No, I didn't hear the last
part. I used to poke dead fish with my dead things with my toothpick from my knife. You know, it's like, oh, let me use the toothpicks.
Well, keys are even more exposed, right? You know?
That's true.
Yeah. Like, if you had done examining a puppy dog that had a brain tumor, and then you just, you know, I don't know what to do, and you stick your hands in your pocket to think about it, you know, all that doggy blood is going to be on the keys. So the next thing you know, you're sticking it in your ear. That's a little.
Well, I gave a guy I worked with. I don't know if I ever told Tim this, but or any of you, but I gave a guy what we call, Terry and I used to call, the stink keys.
that's a different kind of brown medicine, then.
Oh, it was, well, this guy Jim, he was like, so we worked at this horrible place, like cleaning and refinishing floors, and we had to use his keys to get into this one closet, and we're like, hey, Jim, can I use your keys? And he was like, what are you going to use them for? I mean, he was, like, so serious. I mean, you would have thought that these keys were, you know, to use them were to unlock, like, the secrets of life. And I'm like, I just need to get this bucket or some shit out, you know. So we took it, and as I was walking, I unlocked it. And it was really, you know how hot it is in Kansas in the summers. And I just took the keys, and I just put them right in my ass cheeks and just clenched, you know. And then kind of, like, got my stuff out, and then I took them, and I was just hanging on to one thing. I go, here are your keys, Jim, and I threw them to him. He's like,
you threw it to him.
Yeah. here are your keys, Jim. And I mean, but probably really in the whole scheme of things, it's probably just my ass smelled more like copper from his keys rather than – I probably did more harm to me than stinky to him.
But, got a copper exposure on the anus.
Yeah, that probably explains a lot, too. Between the rabies and the iron deficiency or the iron
overload. you actually crap nickels.
I wish. Yeah. I wish. I would be at my one of my summer homes recording this if I could crap nickels. I'd have a summer home in Wichita.
I would feed you a Big Mac so I could have change to buy one myself.
the best part would be going through the tolls, hanging my butt up.
Just a minute. Instead of what people thought would be you just spitting chaw out the window.
I didn't see you perched on one of those little toll baskets with like a comic book.
No.
How much more do I need? Okay. Ding, ding, ding,
ding. Hang on a second. I just like that because, you know, when people sometimes just throw him, you know, as you drive through, like going 50 miles an hour, I just like take the wheel and just hang out, just try to release as you go past the basket.
I get about a buck 05 every round.
I'm a little short. Need some more fiber.
So speaking of bats, last night it was the Bat Festival, and I guess they didn't make an appearance, but I didn't know that because I was at Willie Nelson last night. I saw that guy play, and man, you want to talk about somebody who needs to brag? You know what? For 79 years old, he was pretty good. I think it's his voice, right? I think the ladies love his voice. He's got that silky smooth, you know, country voice. Good. Still good. I mean, his voice could melt panties today.
His guitar playing's a little suspect around again.
Well, you know, so
it was. I saw him, but
what's the name of his guitar? It's Trigger, isn't it?
Oh, I don't remember.
Because he's had the same guitar. It's like got a hole in it. It's like got a bungee cord. It's all beat to crap.
It was in a fire, so some of it got burnt. But, I mean, he's so old. Like, he was in Colorado last week.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Emphysema from smoking too much weed. And the high altitude knocked him out, so he had to go to a hospital. So we were worried about him not being able to play, but it was awesome because his daughter sucks. And it was nice of him to let his daughter, like, play. She was terrible.
How old is she? Is she, like, younger? Old? I mean, how old is she?
So we went with some friends here, local, and we were still in the parking lot getting drunk while she was playing. And it was not good. I'm glad we didn't go in because she was, like, she was playing, like, she did a cover of Dick Dale's Miserloo that was kind of slow. And then she did, like, a slow version of Have You Ever Seen the Rain by CCR? And it was terrible. It was not good. And then she did.
I imagine like a bad jazzy version.
Yeah, it was.
Like, when you say that, it just makes me like a slow, because that's not a fast song to
get. And it's just like not good at all. It was very average. And then she would like sing Jackson, you know, the fucking Johnny Cash song.
Oh, I'm.
Yeah. So, and it was all bad. It was terrible.
So she just did she have any originals or was all
she had? She had some originals, but seriously, I was tuning that out big time. So we went to this place called the Backyard, and apparently, like it's like was I out in the middle of nowhere here out west, and it used to be a smaller venue, and they got this big venue, and it was pretty much like a park, and it was like they had this giant scaffold and shit like that, and the traffic was terrible, like pretty much traffic anywhere here at Austin, and like. Yeah. Like, we rolled in, we had to pull some U's. We thought Google Maps was taking us to, like, somewhere that they didn't even know. You know, we finally got in there, and we just hung out in the parking lot and got drunk. And, like, we were just hanging out before the show. And we were hanging out with the certain friends that, like, You know how you have, like, some friends that end up being, like, 40 or 45, but they're still kind of, like, in college? That was kind of like...
Easy.
Sorry. I'm just saying. We were hanging out with a couple of people that were older than you, John, and that were, like, you know, getting wasted, talking a bunch of shit. We had a guy, I'm friends with a guy that was, like, from Iowa, I think. I don't know if he was born in Wisconsin, but he was from Iowa, and he was raised on a dairy farm and all that other fun stuff. And then, like, another guy they were hanging out with was, like, from Minnesota. So they were, like, talking a bunch of smack to each other and having fun and whatnot. So we were hanging out. You know, I bought a six-pack of hams and was drinking some hams. And the place was so new, they were still kind of building some stuff. And the car was right next to some of this other stuff that was kind of, like, not built. So I had to go urinate, and I went behind this dumpster. And there was, like, a Craftsman tractor there and, like, a grill. And I don't know what the hell else was back there, but it was, like, all weird and stuff. But we got done, and, like, I don't even remember the last name of Willie Nelson's daughter. She finished, and it was like, I'm glad she's gone. And Willie came up, and they literally, like, had two guys there that, like, propped him up. Like, brought him out, and then, like, propped him up on the stage.
Did he sit or stand?
He stood. He
stood. He's standing. He's standing on his own two feet.
But was he
shaky looking? I mean, no, when they were leading him out,
the problem with some of these people, and I think you guys have probably run into this before, right? There's some people that, like, go to shows, go to concerts, and, like go to watch the band, right? And then there are others that just go there just to drink and be loud and belligerent, right? So, unfortunately, some of these people were loud and belligerent. So, Kelly and I, you know, we'd never seen Willie Nelson. We're like, okay.
So, you were excited, right? You guys were
pumped. And, like, these guys, there's, like, a whole, like, countercultural. I'm starting to get introduced into country music. It's, like, its own world. And
yeah. Like, the joke.
Yeah, exactly. And except, minus the face paint and the Faygo. But it's the Lone Star beer, and these guys seem willy enough to where they're just, like, right on their mouths doing a bunch of other shit and being really loud, and, like, finally Kelly and I were just like, okay, let's just try to go up front and try to see Willie, and we did, right? So we got a good shot of Willie. I took some video. I'll put it up online and whatnot. But, like, so Willie, like. Okay, imagine, like, you have a, like, okay, imagine, like, you ask Alex to draw, like, a human being, and I'm going to go ahead and make an assumption that Alex is probably not a great artist. Drawing.
He's okay.
Well, okay, so imagine him drawing, like, a person, right? And imagine how, like, it could be all squiggly, and, like, the body is all weirdly shaped and whatnot.
Yeah, he just, it's funny you should say that, because he just drew, like, a clone trooper today. And, like, one of the arms was giant, like a bazooka.
So, like, think of, like, having, like, weirdly shaping, almost like Shel Silverstein in, like, or like a kindergartner drawing, like, a body. That is actually what Willie Nelson's body looked like. It was
really?
I mean, I mean, I don't know if he was wearing adult diapers, but it was like he was skinny up top, and he had really skinny, like, shoes. But, like, he had weird grandpa pants on that was kind of wide, and, like, it wasn't, like, straight pants. It was, like, weird.
Were they jeans?
I don't even think they were jeans. I couldn't
tell.
I know. So, it was, like, so weird, because it looked like he was, like, propped up to lean forward. So he was leaning forward the whole show. And, I mean, he moved here and there, but it just looked so, so weird. And he is old. I don't think I'll be able to see him again, because he's probably going to be dead really quick.
But you know what's interesting is that you went to the show, and you were like, you know, oh, I'm glad I got to see him before he passes away. And you're like, well, these other people have seen him probably millions of times, and they don't care. They're running their mouths. But you know when he dies, they're going to be bragging everybody. Yeah, I saw him one of his last performances. It was amazing. And it's like, you stupid bastard. You weren't even paying attention.
So that's,
you know, it's something you could tell your friends and brag about.
So, yeah, it's, and that's why it's like, Kelly and I, we made a note. It's like, if we really, if we're going to go to a show and we really care about it, we're probably going to kind of lay low. But yeah. if it's like the gathering of the Juggalos, and we're just jacking around, then we probably would go with a larger group of people. But like if it's something that we really want to see and we want to be laser focused on, because I like recording some stuff, I like taking pictures, but I also like to really listen to the music.
Yeah. Right. That's why I don't want to watch the Super Bowl or any baseball with anyone else anymore. I can't do. I told Tim I came back from the last time I went to the last Super Bowl, and I was just like, I can't do it anymore. Like they were focused on everything but the game. I couldn't hear the announcers. Not that the announcers have that much insight, but I was just like, you're doing everything but watching the game, and I'm just like, I can't do it anymore. I'm just gonna watch it by myself from now on. So I get that. I concur.
So, and then the other thing, and this is why he'll probably. It won't be brown medicine for anyone else. It'll be green medicine. But the guy was so it was cool because like I felt sorry for the guy running the light show because every time Willie would be out of breath, he would just like point to the crowd and they would expect them to take over where he just didn't want to sit.
Wow.
So like every time it was on cue, but like well not every time, but sometimes it was on cue and sometimes it wasn't in the light guy. You know how like it shows like if like the artist or guy is like talking some crap and asking the crowd some questions, they'll pump the house lights up to like you know say, hey crowd, you're supposed to say something back, right? So Willie did this a lot where it was like he started singing or like it was like the verse or even the chorus and he would just like point to the crowd and he's like, there you go. And then like crowd would half the time catch up to him, but like the other half the time they didn't. So you know, like he's getting that old where he could still get away with putting on a good show, but that old. He's like he runs out of breath and he's just like crowd take over from here, and but you know, playing wise, guitar wise, which thanks for sending that picture, Tim.
Yeah, it's me. I'm a big boy technology guy.
Yeah, that's right.
The guitar is amazing.
Yeah.
That it's still
and he exists. Can still play the guitar pretty damn well.
I love how he just goes on those tangents on him by himself, because I saw a thing with the full band, and they were playing On the Road Again, and just in the middle of it, he just goes... And he's just like playing some almost like flamenco-style rapid-fire, like right in the middle. And it's just like the band's job is just to kind of keep it moving.
Keep going.
Yeah, let Willie do what he's going to do. And I don't know. It's he's kind of like when I heard him play that way, it was kind of like it's like having a member of Sonic Youth in a country band, you know? Just all of a sudden like
wah! And that's where I like recognize that there is an underground like country music thing that I have no exposure to, because like the people that we went with, their whole beef is against like Nashville music versus like Texas music. Apparently, like Nashville is like Cowboy Troy, where like they do country music and rap, or country music and rock and roll, and then they got like Texas music, which is like you know there's some like more traditional stuff and like classic stuff, and like apparently like the pop country is like hated around here, and it's like stuff that there's like stuff that I haven't had any exposure. If anything, it's making me just a little bit more open-minded toward country music in general, because there is that kind of, like, you know, there's, like, the country equivalent of Justin Bieber going on, and it's recognized between other country music fans, and it's kind of neat in that aspect to kind of hear about that.
Well, I've always, like, because I've heard some of both, because, like, some of the old country, like, Tim and I have talked about, like, you know, some of the old stuff is pretty entertaining and pretty fun, but the new stuff, like, they just take a stupid phrase and, like, build a song around it, and it's, like, they're a little too polished and too good-looking kind of, you know, like the Brooks and Dunn and those kind of people. I'm just like, eh. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, but Willie Nelson, I mean, my friend Tom, who lives in, I think he still lives in Portland, but when he first moved out there, he got to see Willie Nelson play, this probably been about 10 years ago or so, But it was Willie Nelson playing by himself, but he was playing at a baseball field.
Yeah.
And he sat up, like, I think, I want to say, like, in the mound, like, right in the center, and just played for, like, an hour and a half. And he was like, it was the most amazing thing that I've ever seen, you know.
And that was what was cool. He went on for, like, about 2 hours last night.
Wow.
At 79, you know, he's still doing that. I mean, yeah. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, and nobody would probably, like, be mad if he did just do an hour, because, like, he's old, and he's obviously, you know, that he needed help out, he's lurched forward, he's wearing grandpa pants, you know, and instead he's like, no, I'm doing two and a half hours. That's awesome.
And he closed out, I'm pretty sure, yeah, he closed out with, roll me up and smoke me when I'm gone.
Done.
That's a country music song. And yeah. That's why I said he definitely will need the green medicine instead of the brown medicine.
I had a friend who got high on his tour bus during in Austin, like South by Southwest.
Nice.
I don't want to say the names, actually, because it's probably one, I think it's one of the guys too that I sent like an invitation on Facebook to like Gonzo guys. So he's like, hey, that's me. You know who you are. But it was somehow he had a connection with Willie Nelson's tour manager at the time, and they were, and like a whole bunch of guys from KJHK, you know, the Lawrence College Radio, went to CMJ, and they knew the guy, and they were talking, and the guy says, well, do you want to come on Willie's bus and, you know, meet Willie? And they were like, oh yeah, you know, and then went on there, and he said they smoked pot, and he's like, I really fucked up. Could you? but I mean, I was just like, oh my God, you'll tell your kids, you're like, I got extremely high with Willie Nelson in Texas. That's a feather in your cap right there, man.
Jeez. That's better. That's better than being drunk and belligerent at his show.
Yeah.
God damn. Now that pisses me off even more. Because I get angry. I get angry at that. I get really angry at that.
I do that with every. I've always, even on really small level things, like my old roommates. We used to go to shows. There was these two girls, and we would go to these shows. And I would be really excited about the bands, and I would be watching it, and then they would actually be like really bored like the whole time, and you could just like just arms crossed, not seeming like they really cared. And then I was like, man, they're not having a good time. And then I like the next day, I'd hear them talk to someone on the phone and be like, oh yeah, we went and saw this show and this show, and it was great. We had a great time. I'm like, what? it's like you look bored as hell, and it's. Like, people, I think, just want to go sometimes just so they can see.
They went.
It's just, it's a bragging thing. Like, would you take an awesome, amazing vacation if you couldn't tell anybody? I would, but I know some people wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, oh, last week I was in Cabo San Lucas, blah, 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 blah.
Me, Hagar, blah, 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 Cabo.
I got rabies from bats in Cabo San Lucas.
and then Sammy Hagar injected me with 7 shots of tequila. Oh. That guy, like, all of his records, whenever you hear, like, his recent stuff, like, I should say all of his stuff, it sounds like commercial music for, like, rum and stuff. You know, like, when you see, like, a beer commercial and you hear music that is made for that commercial, that's what his music sounds to me. Because, like, that Mos Tequila song, I'm like, did he write this for a commercial? And they're like, oh, no, that's just a song. I'm like, ooh, that's a shame. That's just some shameful shit. Your best songwriting is commercials. So
there is this album art of Sammy Hagar, one of his albums, where it's like he's so we recovered from that guy, fucking computer locked up, but we didn't lose anything. So
you know who I blame?
Who do you?
Sammy Hagar.
I tried to tell this, you know what I was looking for was the stupid album cover picture of Sammy Hagar.
We all were. That's the sad thing. We all three were.
Broke the internet.
The internet could,
that album cover.
Yeah. Like this, like a whole bunch of like bells and whistles went off and closed it down. They're like, three people are searching for Sammy Hagar. He was born in 1947.
Oh,
he is old.
So that makes that. How old is that? Make him. I can't do math very well.
Pretty
really quickly.
Old.
I'm doing it right now.
65.
Yeah. He's 65 years old. He's like my dad's age. Wow. My dad's like 63. But he looks good for his age.
You can find some pictures where his hair isn't done up and stuff, and he looks like your dad.
Well, my dad doesn't have that much hair anymore. He's got that receding hairline.
He's got more hair, but there's some pictures of him with his hair pulled back, and it's all gray, and he's got a beard. And that's him.
Okay. Hey, have you guys seen that picture that someone put on Facebook? It was two pictures, and it said Ric Flair on non-high def, and then it said Ric Flair in high def, and they had a picture of the scientist from Back to the Future. It was really funny. But, yeah. It was good stuff. But, all right,
I close out my browser. I'll put it either on the Facebook page. That's what I'll do. I'll put it on the Facebook page and the Google Plus page.
Well, then,
because it's hilarious. I have a picture of it. I was trying to conjure that up, but I couldn't find it.
Well, we've got some good photos that go along with stuff. So we got Billy the Exterminator, Willie's guitar. We got some nice little audio visual nice
pieces in there.
So. Yeah. And Juggalo Boobs. Did you open that picture, Tim?
I did. I remember you telling me about this site before, Driven by Borg, I think.
I think somebody that's the
told
one.
Me about that site before, but
Someone sent me a link that it was like it was like a real porn page, like where it was a real pay for. You know how they have the ones? Not that I know, I've heard about them. but you know where it has like join now for this much, and you get this, and it was like they had the samples. That was the link that someone. But that I just typed in like Juggalo Porn.
Yeah, well, which, there you go.
Surprised so, that didn't shut my computer down immediately.
There's some interesting other images on that page.
Yeah, so did I don't know if I should even tell about this. Nah, I probably shouldn't say this about the contest. I think I told you, Tim, or maybe I don't know if I should.
God,
but I'll just say like there was a bet that was going to happen that has never been done where it was the loser. I'm not going to see who this bet we were talked about. The winner gets to pick the porn, then the loser has to masturbate to it. And finish.
What? How would you measure the expectation? How would you like?
Well, for if it was two guys, it'd be easy. But this was a man. Let's just see. This was a man and a woman, and that was the bet. And I said it has to be, for lack of a better term, a gentleman's bet. because you have, because the women, you could obviously make the man. So I'm like, but the bet never happened. But I'm just saying that my line of thinking was, if you were in a pinch and all you had was Juggalo stuff, could you do it?
Yeah,
I could probably do it.
Yeah, I could too. I don't want to sound all high, but like I don't know.
Yeah.
I could probably do it in Texas if I had to. It
probably has to go to some pretty. It's got to go to some pretty dark places for most people, I think.
Yeah.
So the concert, Willie Nelson was great. If you guys have a chance to see him, sounds like you saw him this year. When did you see Willie Nelson, Tim?
I saw him a few years ago, probably 7 or 8.
I think everyone else should get at least one chance to see him before he kicks a bucket, because he's going to go pretty soon.
I think that he's playing at one of the vineyards out here. There's like the vineyards, like here in California, like they'll do like concert series in the summer. And I was thinking for some reason Willie Nelson was coming out. I'll have to see.
He came through Wichita before he went to Colorado, but
Do you want to hear the dumbest thing that I did? Like you talk about like missing out on a show like Willie Nelson. I miss seeing Johnny Cash and Dodge City at the Civic Center. I didn't want to go. I was like, like Johnny. And it was like in seventh grade or something. And I like, now I'm like, when I've pulled my head out of my ass as an adult, I'm like, oh God, I miss seeing Johnny Cash at the Civic Center. Oh,
that's brutal.
I did see Adrian Street wrestle there.
Well, that's a perfect.
Well, that's right there. Right.
What is what? Adrian Street?
Yeah, Johnny Cash, Adrian Street, sure, whatever.
Well, in my mind, they're kind of. that's another thing where my rabies has gotten to me. When I, on my mind, Adrian Street and Johnny Cash are, I'm like, it's pretty impressive.
They're essentially related.
Yeah. They're one of the same.
But it was so sad too, because like I set up the wrestling ring. I was like a freshman or sophomore, and I thought wrestling was like they were all glamorous and everything. And then like Adrian Street and Linda showed up, and he was like, they drove up in the shitty car, and he was wearing sweatpants and stuff, and it was like, it's like, and then the peek behind the curtain.
Dreams are shattered.
Yeah. Shattered dreams. It's like all the...
Yeah. I did see George Carlin before he died.
I did too. I saw George Carlin.
I did not see him before he died.
I saw him in Vegas and in Wichita. So, two totally different shows. Totally different shows. But, So I guess leading into the other, because I have my little notes, like, so we talked about Willie Nelson. So was the Doctor Who at that?
It was pretty good.
Oh.
It was pretty dang good. So the John Pertwee era, John, first of all, Tim, are you guys like Doctor Who, right?
Oh, I'm...
Yeah, John, partially you, then John, then me, probably a distant third. For me, I know things, but I think
especially seeing this on the big screen, it is very Gonzo Guy worthy.
Oh yeah, well, but John Pertwee's—he's one of my favorites. Though.
Well, and I'm going through—I'm on season 10, and I'm going through all the seasons before the 50th anniversary edition. Which Tim and John, we could talk offline on how you guys want to watch it and how an easy way that you can do that. The thing about the John Pertwee era versus the first Doctor, which was William Hartnell, and the second Doctor, which is Patrick Troughton, is that there's a lot of changes that happen, and moving to color, it's a new Doctor, and technology, and what was great is, we showed up and we went and we sat in theater and they're playing like behind the scenes vignettes from some of the DVDs that are out. And just a bunch.
Some of those are.
Yeah. And it was like a bunch of like British sounding guys with bad teeth talking about how, at the last second they had to throw some shit together and then that's how they made it work. And
I got a question for you and see if you thought the same thing that I did, because I've been on a big Doctor Who kick with the DVDs, and I've watched the special features. Do you find that a lot of the actors, that some of them are kind of bitter and kind of pissy about things that happened with the show?
That might be that they're just British. That could be that, too.
Yeah. That's just their personalities. That doesn't have anything to do with the... But because they all kind of seem to have a problem. And this is how dorky I am, Hoke. I've actually bought a couple of the paperbacks. They're called the Doctor Who Handbooks. You can get them really cheap.
Yeah, I haven't bought those. I read those online. Like, when I go through an episode, I've been kind of... Like, I got a backlog for that, but... I would go. Yeah. I would watch the episode, and then I would go to Wikipedia, read the recaps and the production stuff from the list of the serials, and then I would go to the BBC's website, and then they would talk about how they would have like excerpts from like Doctor Who Companion and like some other stuff. So it was like a good recap for me of that episode without actually getting a book.
Well, those handbooks are cool too, because like. You find out the story behind the actor who's playing Doctor Who. And I was telling Christy, I was like, I don't mean to sound like I think the English are better than all of us, but all of their backstories as actors are so amazing compared to like our guys. It's like, well, I went to school and I was in some plays and then an agent. But like William Hartnell and some of them, like they were in the army and then they served in, and then they did like radio broadcasting for the Navy. And then like William Hartnell, like ran away from home to like basically be a horse rider. And it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But I really like, but yeah, he's one
so,
of
the, like, and the whole Sorry, thing but, about the whole like Doctor Who stuff is that, okay. So everything leading up to when they got canned and had to go on a hiatus. And then they had like a TV movie and then like Russell T. Davies brought back this new series. Like, as soon as Russell T. Davies brought it back, right, it was like better production value, more money put into it, a lot of time and special effects. So, like, the one that we saw, first thing, like, if you read up on the history, if you look at the history, I mean, literally, they're just throwing shit together, especially back when it first started. They're like taping up plungers and fucking like fish bowls and calling it an alien and then running around and trying to shoot it and then like playing Adventure Time with it. And like, it's perfect for Gonzo Guys because it's like a bad movie, but it's like a bad serial. It's like kitschy adventure. It was like the cool part of Star Wars, right? It's like they just throw a bunch of shit together and tell a story, and somehow, like, you know it's kind of crappy, but you can suspend your belief just enough to believe it to what it actually is. And it has a great appeal because you kind of understand the sincerity, like, behind what they are trying to do, you know? And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, I kind of, for some reason, because I loved it when I was a kid, because we didn't have a lot of channels. And so we had, like, you know, the major networks, and we had PBS. And I want to say it was, like, Saturday or Sunday, they would play a big block of them, of Doctor Who's. And they were usually Tom Baker. And so when I rediscovered, like, first one I watched was one of the Daleks, like, the origination of the Daleks with Tom Baker. Mm-hmm. And it was exactly what you said. Like, I'm like, wow, they get so much out of just these little sound stages. I mean, the story and the plot. I mean, like, they did so much with so little, and it's like it's really kind of fascinating.
It's very
like
fascinating.
That was brilliant. Like what you said about, like, you know, it's like suspending your disbelief because you just kind of, you know, yeah, it's cheesy, but it's like a really well put together play because, like, you have these limitations, whether they be budget or space.
And what helps is the sincerity of it, right? It's sincere, so it's like you almost subconsciously allow yourself to suspend that disbelief, right? Okay, Battlefield Earth is a piece of shit, right? And it was like they're all this super serious, and it's like, you know, and that's what kills it, and that's actually part of why it's fun to get bad movies that tried too hard to be serious. You know, and that's why it's like you see a really bad action movie and they're like super serious. They got some stupid message and they're like, oh, I'm serious. And it just looks like a piece of shit. And it's just like, no, it's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. But like the things like with Doctor Who and like Story of Ricky and like, you know, you know that there is an amount of sincerity behind it. And that sincerity also, it's weird. It's like this, it's just like this, like the planets align, and it's like, oh, it's like Mystery Science Theater 3000, right? You know, it's stupid puppet robots. And it's just done just enough on a shoestring to push the story forward. And it's like, you can forgive that more than like some high budget movie that tries too hard and ends up crapping out something that you hate even more because of it.
Well, and for me, it's like I love the whole idea of you reminded, like, oh, the Doctor's an alien, he has two hearts, mm-hmm. he does this regeneration, and part of me is just like the outfits and just the difference in the personalities, and I love the five doctors and the two doctors, it's the perfect retcon, right?
You know?
Yeah,
you can totally flip the whole show up and go in a complete different direction, and. That's what happened with Spearhead from Space, if you guys get a chance to watch it, right? So it went to color. It was the first introduction of John Pertwee. And what I learned yesterday at the Draft House, which, you know, I'll talk about the Draft House in a second, because it's getting nationwide really fast.
Kansas City's getting
and New York and Denver. And I'm telling you, in a couple of years, it'll be all over the place. And it's worth it because, and I'll just for a second... It is just as sincere as what I explained what happened with Doctor Who and some of these other movies where it's like you can allow yourself to suspend that disbelief because you know that they're being really sincere and honest about it. People are funny that way, but Alamo Drafthouse is awesome because they are very sincere about, you know, the movie and respecting the movie and, like, don't fucking text or call or do anything that distracts people because you're there to watch a movie. So and they make it more. They don't treat you like a kid like most movie theaters do.
Well, and it's kind of like goes back to like we were saying about the concert too, and like going to and watching the Super Bowl and sporting events that you're so into. Like you want to be with like-minded people that aren't going to be there just to be there. They're there because they're passionate about it. And I think that's something that's like missing today is like that sincerity, like you're talking about. And I know that kind of stuff. I don't feel, this sounds so like sad and cliche, but I don't feel as alone when that kind of thing happens. When you know, it's like,
it's a different kind of church, right? It's a different,
yeah.
It's not like a cult or a religion, right? But it's like, you know, it's a you as a community get together and celebrate something awesome, you know, and you feel better about yourself because you know you watch the same kind of Juggalo porn together. So,
pants down, pants gentlemen. Down.
So the draft house is awesome, and they treat you like an adult because it's kind of on two sides. It's like, yeah, don't call or text, we'll kick your ass out, but they also treat you like an adult. You go in, you can order a beer, you can eat a meal and have a good time and watch a movie, and they do special events, and this is where it gets into sincerity, right? You know, they have special events where, like, you can go and watch a TV show or a classic TV show in the theater. They do it with current shows. They do it with, like, Breaking Bad. They'll do it with, like, House, you know. They'll have, like, TV on film, but they'll also, like, bring in like classic movies where you can come in and quote along to, like Spaceballs or whatever. And then they'll bring in, and now like they'll bring in, and they respect, that's what's so awesome, is that they are sincere. They respect the quality of movie. Like this year they are celebrating the summer of 82. So they show every movie at the Draft House, that every movie that came out in 1982, the same weekend at the Alamo Draft House in the original 35 millimeter print. We went and saw Tron. We saw Conan the Barbarian. We saw that, and they had like the Secret of Nim available of all movies. They had like at a Demolition Derby, they had Mad Max and then they had a Demolition Derby at some track. They showed the movie there, and then the cars blew each other. That's the kind of sincerity that's missing, and that makes you feel part of something, and that's what's awesome about that.
And what year did you say? It was like
the 1982. Because
I remember, because like one of my fondest memories, and this is why I was going to go see Blade Runner at the Vine Cinema, which is like a little tiny version of the Alamo here in Livermore. But I didn't go. But my dad, like he used to do, like every once in a while, he would take us to a couple movies. And one time we did like Tron, but we did Firefox. Was that in 82? Do you remember that movie with Clint Eastwood?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, it's a really
was
underrated.
Was that the one where he was in the plane and he tried to capture a plane?
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah, he's still in the Soviet, like the stealth. It's a really, really good movie. But I think it was around that time, because I remember like seeing Tron and Firefox, like, and we had to go to different theaters to see him. But we also it was 82 Empire Strikes Back too.
I don't remember.
I don't remember what year that came out. I guess
So you mentioned Star Wars, right? So now what's happening now with Star Wars? They take all the sincerity out of it, and it pisses people off. Because Greedo shot instead of Han, you know, or whoever, you know. Han always shot first, and now it's like, digitally redid it, you know? And it's like, you start messing with people's emotions, and you start taking away that sincerity, you're going to get an ugly reaction. It's like an E.T., which... E.T. came out in the summer 82. They had the original 35mm print. They left, and that's the print that wasn't muddied with that whole thing where Spielberg, instead of having guns that the FBI
made him flash
walkie-talkies, right? So
they changed it,
and they pissed off so many people because they took that sincerity out. It's like, just leave it as it is and let you remember. But no, get your fingers in it, and it just kind of ruins your perception.
I have... My E.T. DVD set has the one with the walkie-talkies, but it also did come with, and I don't know if they still do this, it came with, you can put the other disc and you can watch it as it was originally released in theaters with the guns.
And you know what? That was because of the blowback from it.
Unlike a certain Star Wars person who doesn't want the old ones released anymore.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm clutching onto my original trilogy VHS tape. That is never...
Oh, we have stories about that, don't we, Tim?
Yes, we do. We were looking for the CBS box set at the flea markets, which you can find, and they're the old ones where the lightsaber's still kind of white and blue, and the planets blow up differently, and there's not a different guy plays the Emperor in Empire Strikes Back than in the third movie.
And then the ghost at the end are
is actually the actors it should be, and not Hayden Christensen.
It's funny because when Tim put that in, because we were trying to find out if it was one of them that had the original Jabba scene, when Jabba's just a fat guy in a fur coat. and it wasn't, but it was just like, it just looked so old and kind of yellowish. And I told Tim, I'm like, man, you need to give me a copy of this because this is how I want to watch it. I don't want to watch it all bright and digital.
Remember, it's kind of dirty and kind of.
Yeah, I don't want to watch it.
So like, that's what's awesome is because, you know, they'll kick people out and they're sincere and serious about the love of what you're there to see, right? And it was awesome to see that yesterday at a Doctor Who event, which when you look at the history reading the handbooks, when you read all that, you know, you look at the interviews, and now the BBC is commissioning a documentary on how Doctor Who first got started. They're going to talk about how, like, there was a ragtag group of people that were thrown together to try to make something work, and they made it work. And it's because people clutch onto that sincerity. Not unlike the sincerity that was around when Tim and I made the bad movie reviews on Gonzo, guys. So
a ragtag tag of two.
Yes. Well, now it's three. Now it's a wolf pack.
Well, I told Tim I'm like the fifth member. I'm like the Billy Preston.
you're the Billy B. Williams of.
Oh no, nah, that's like
you're Orlando Sanchez.
The Pete Best.
The Pete Best. By the way, so you mentioned Blade Runner did come out in 82, and they are trying to show it at the end of the year. So they're still trying to do Blade Runner in its original print. Empire Strikes Back came out in 80, and Return of the Jedi came out in 1983. So they're opening up the draft house, right? And they're opening it up across – it's spreading, I'm telling you. People are catching on. They're spending their money at something a little bit more sincere than the – now Chinese-owned AMC theaters, not to knock communism or start a holy war politically against movie going. Right. Point is that it's very sincere and they'll do like, you know, they'll do like quote-alongs. Tim was at Master Pancake. They'll do events where you can, you know, have a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style like jokes going against.
Yeah, we were at the Notebook on that
one. Yeah, so...
Oh, wow.
So that kind of... And that's what was awesome, especially with the John Pertwee era. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about this, because I know we got... We're running some pretty good... Well, we'll run that. I'll tell you what, just to get behind the sheets, behind the covers, we can...
That sounds so sick.
Well, I don't think we have to necessarily be locked in at 2 hours, and I certainly am not going to put any technological constraints on it, because I can, like, we can make the audio a little bit less quality and still be able to squeeze in, and maybe everybody gets a good epidose punched out. So, that said, the John Pertwee era, and, okay, the other thing, because I know I'm on a roll and I've had a couple beers. The Series 7 with Matt Smith comes out September 1st next week, so I guarantee you, you are probably going to hear from me, and maybe we could do like a separate segment. You know, new Doctor Who's are coming out like starting next week, and I'm going to have to talk about it because I'm very interested. So,
I have to tell you my dirty secret is that I've never watched any of the new ones. I only watched the old ones. I haven't watched it.
You want to start when it restarted with Christopher Eccleston. It was a completely fresh take on the Doctor. It was another one of those retcon regeneration things. So Russell T. Davies did great when David Tennant came in. Matt Smith has kind of grown into his own a little bit, and I think that's what's great about the Doctors too, is like you get a year where people are kind of pissed off, and then they get used to him. And then it's like they got their own style, they got their own spice, they got their own hot sauce of a Doctor. And that's what's great with John Pertwee, because John Pertwee is important. Because it goes into color, they go into a whole completely different
He was the first one that I thought was really cool, because he was like kind of like a mod. He like had Bessie, and he had like velvet coats, and he liked karate, and like, you know, because he just seemed cooler. Because the other one, they say the second one, Patrick Troughton, they always say is like a cosmic hobo.
Yeah, he's like sad clown.
Yeah, and then the first one is like your grumpy old grandpa, and then you've got this cool guy that comes along.
He's wearing velvet, and he's like, "Fuck," and what was great about this one episode, Spearhead from Space, and that was what was really interesting to see about it, and it kind of ties into the sincerity of like the whole thing with Doctor Who and with like art and creation, and how people detect and believe in sincerity more than they do about, you know, unsincere stuff, which I don't know how would you classify that then, except maybe like politics.
It's bullshit.
So what I learned yesterday is that at the time when that season and that episode was to be filmed, the set workers, the people who were responsible for building the sets for Doctor Who, and you talk about soundstage earlier, John, like the people who were responsible for doing that were like on strike. They were on strike, and they couldn't film at a sound studio. This was like one of only two episodes where they actually shot the whole thing on film. The whole thing was on film. It wasn't on video. It wasn't in a soundstage. It was like a movie. And that was what was really interesting about it, is because they took a new direction. They didn't have a soundstage to work with, and they still like built a story that was creepy as hell. You know, it dealt with Autons, which were like mannequins that came to life, which is always scary. And it was just crazy and kooky. And it also marks that they had the access now in color and with green screens and chroma screens and all that other stuff to really do some batshit crazy stuff. And I've been watching up to season 10, and like the John Pertwee era, you're right, John, there's like, he's like a suave motherfucker. He's like the Lando Calrissian of Doctor Who's. And, but like,
He basically, all of the older doctors, especially those, I kind of came to this conclusion the other day that it kind of makes me kind of think that you can be old and kind of cool. You know what I mean? You know, and he was the first one that actually used any kind of sort of like physical
violence. Venusian karate.
Yeah, and did you ever see the one with the mind karate? Did you see that when they like, I don't remember, I want to say it was on the Five Doctors one.
It might have been the Three Doctors.
The
guy, the Omega guy, like,
and
he like I'm gonna battle you with wits, and then it goes into this crazy like wirefu, like 1970s wirefu shit where he's like, he's fucking with a monster that's like in some ragged like clothes that kind of looks like a monster. It's crazy.
Yeah, there's a clip on YouTube, Tim, that I'll send to you. It's just it's really funny, but it's also very dreamlike in its way too. The way it's shot, it's like this dark room, and he's like judo flipping a raggedy monster. It's pretty awesome. it's pretty wonderful.
So, but when you get into the job, and that's when they get batshit crazy. That's when they get like Gonzo guys. They're like they're having hand puppet monsters. They have chroma screens, so they'll have a hand puppet monster that looks 10 feet tall, when really you can tell it's just a guy up the ass of a puppet moving his hand.
Yeah.
And it's awesome, because it's like, you know, it's shit, but it's like, you know, they're like having fun with it, and they're like, they're just rolling with it. And that's what makes it so entertaining, and that's why it's like, you know, it's great. And I'll probably will not shut up about it here, especially in the next couple weeks, because I'm determined. I have not watched a Tom Baker episode. I have not watched it.
Really?
I got all the videos, like all of them, and we can talk offline about that. But I am literally like for the 50th anniversary that comes out next year, starting from season one all the way up to the current season, and we're just watching everything. And I'm on season 10, and with this year's season, that's 33 seasons, not including the TV movie. Just to give you a hint at just how long running like the series is.
So here's a question I have, and I should have Googled this, but when I was visiting Tim, I brought some of those too. But like, you know, the Doctor Who comics, like the magazine had comics in it, and then Marvel would do a comic, like they in the States, right? Well, they put a little section in the back, and they talked about there was a Doctor Who movie with Peter Cushing as
the
doctor?
They were rolling around and trying to like sell around, you know, Doctor Who and the Daleks, and Peter Cushing was the doctor, and they had the Daleks there, and it was like a movie, but I don't think it ever either was like distributed, or I don't know what happened with that.
So it's not, because you know, a lot of the footage is gone, the older stuff, because it's kind of, and Tim, you remember like how like the Bill Watts stuff, like with all the old wrestling stuff we were talking about, they just erased over it because tape was so expensive.
Yeah.
And the BBC lost a whole bunch of stuff. So there's a lot of stuff from the early Doctor Who. Yeah. Like,
so later, gone. Later, William Hartnell and a lot of Patrick Troughton stuff is gone because of that. But, you know, what's cool is that, you know, every once in a while you'll see, like, somebody find a tape. And it's like, it's because what they would do is that they didn't just, like, beam across satellite. They would send copies of tapes to, like, Rio de Janeiro and New Zealand. And they would play there. So somebody in there, and that's what's awesome. Would be crate digging. Someone will go through their closet and crate dig, and they will come up and find, like, a hidden episode of Doctor Who. And it'd be like, bam! And it's like a big deal.
Yeah, it's like, that's what I love about that. Like, anything, like, movies, books, like, I love, like, stories like that. Like, those kind of, like, I don't want to say romantic, but there's just those fascinating stories, like, well, this person, you know, like, you find a baseball card, like, that, like, they found a whole bunch of Honus Wagner cards in, like, the attic of where these two nuns lived when they passed away. You know, like, I love stories like that. I'm like, oh, it's so great. And a lot of that, the Doctor Who stuff, like, the invasion, with Patrick Troughton, they did, like, two of the videos in the middle of the story. So then they animated. Have you seen those? Those are really good.
I haven't
good.
Seen the animation.
The animation's not great, but it's interesting. It's really, but they showed, like, it's, that one was my favorite one that I've watched so far, because they showed, like, how they did it. And they took the audio for the cartoon episode.
Yeah.
From kids that, a lot of kids that actually, or like kids, but grown-ups who taped it as a kid off of the TV with a cassette recorder. And then they took the best recordings and souped it up, and that's what they used for the audio. Which, I mean, I just love
that. That is pretty cool.
I sound so dorky now.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, whoever decided to write over those tapes should get a dose of brown medicine. By brown medicine, meaning like poop in the mouth.
Or a cave of the wind's blast. Catch him in that narrow corridor and just
Let him man. So speaking of cave of the winds, I don't know. I don't have anything else on Doctor Who. I'm going to come back to Doctor Who a lot because it is in the spirit of a lot of the shit that we talked about, especially like last week, you know, where you're crate digging and you're, and especially like this week where it's like, it's people putting on a goofy fucking face and then going out and like, you know, it's bullshit, but it's still kind of fun because it's sincere, but
to me that's like a slice of heaven, like a place like Alamo Drafthouse and Doctor Who. Of like, I probably couldn't go because I would just be like, well, everything else is going to be second from here on out. It's going to ruin everything.
I'm even considering not watching college football on that Saturday when they show it again. That's how serious it is for me.
Wow.
I know.
Yeah, you're the.
I know.
That's pretty. That's rough. That's a rough one. But Tim, you didn't. Did you ever watch it as a kid at all, or no?
I did. Isn't that? I've seen a couple episodes, and I've watched some of the newer ones. My sister watches it quite a bit, so I've seen Doctor Who. I'm not.
Yeah. Oh no, I know you know about it.
Oblivious
well,
to
and,
it. But
and in
same
full disclosure, I started watching it when the new series came out in like 2005. So I was like, oh, this is awesome, and then I went back and started like collecting and gathering and all this other stuff. So.
When I was a kid, I used to read the paperbacks, and actually when I was back in Kansas the last time, I brought my paperback. I found them and brought them back. I haven't read them yet, but it was interesting because I remember I one of the best days, like I don't know why, but it was just, very rarely did I ever have like, just like a day just like with my mom, you know, and my mom and I went to the mall and we met her friend, and I remember we got to eat at this like German restaurant and it was amazing. I had like sauerkraut and my mom was like, oh, I'll buy you one of those Doctor Who books you want. And so it was like, you know, five-star day right there, you know. And I just remember like buying it in the mall, and then one time we were like at a comic shop and I was buying it, and it was like this really typical comic store kind of guy, you know, like from The Simpsons. And I was buying it, and he was like, oh, you like Doctor Who? And I started, and he's like, well, you should join our club. We meet together. And I just remember my mom being kind of like, okay, let's move away from the weird man. My mom was kind of like, you know, hey, I'm okay with him reading this, but I don't want him to become one of those fat ponytailed kind of guys, you know. So at least I don't have a ponytail now.
and let me follow that up by saying I used to work for a public television station in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
And they would talk about the history of when they had online auctions. Well, not online, but on-air auctions. You know, like, we need money. We're desperate here. Someone donated a bowl. Buy this, please. Call the number. And, like, and they would actually have, like, in the 80s, they would have, like, the Doctor Who fan club come in and help volunteer. And it would be, like, a bunch of people dressed up as Doctor Who, and they actually constructed their own version of the TARDIS, and they would bring it into the studio and videotape it while they would do that. That's crazy.
I forgot to tell you guys too, at the San Jose Comic Shop, there was this girl who had a table, and it was like Doctor Who, but they were all as cats. It was called like Dr. Meow or something is what she called it. Dr. Mew, like M-E-W. And like she had these portraits and all these different stickers and t-shirts of the different doctors, but they were cats.
Oh my god.
I gotta find that online. She's gotta have a website.
Well, I saw something on YouTube, courtesy of io9.com earlier this week, where some guy did the version of the Game of Thrones theme with cat meows. That's not sincere. That's just evil.
That's just somebody needs to eat life.
Yeah.
Oh man. So I'm fine with. I need to figure out some. I'm curious. Like if some of the new Doctor Who's and everything. So I'm definitely down.
Yeah, and I would say start with the Russell T. Davies stuff, which you can find on Netflix. And by the way, update, okay. Story Ricky is on Netflix streaming too, by the way, so.
Ooh, very nice.
And yeah. I just started watching Wilfred this week, and that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence. I like it and I don't like it. Tim is more of the Wilfred guy.
There's going to be some spots where I think you're not going to like it as much, but it does, I think they've, recently they've done a good, second season there was kind of a lull where I was a little upset with them, and then they picked it back up, though. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Stick to it. I think you'll enjoy
it. That just showed up on Netflix streaming too. So FYI on that.
I'm really about the only show that I really watched in one of the FX Thursday is Louie, which is just
that's gonna be for another episode. Amazing. We could talk about that for another hour.
Oh. Yeah, I could talk about Louis all day because it's just. I tell Tim like every day after, like the next day after a Louis episode, I'm always thinking about it. And I'm like, that just to me is like a mark of a really good show, where it's like it sticks with me. It sticks with me more than anything I've watched in television in years. I mean, I love The Sopranos. The Sopranos were a great show, but it wouldn't stick with me for that. I mean, I'd be like, oh, that was a great episode. You know, that was
kind of haunt you sometimes.
But Louis will like. It will haunt me until the next week. It's like it's got some staying power. It's just really. I think it's just a wonderful show. Like if there was anything that like that I feel like is like that is made for me. It's kind of like when you hear a song and you kind of go, they must know me. They're talking about me. It's like that show is that's for me.
That's for me.
Go ahead.
No, I would say I don't know where you guys want if we should do a whole separate episode of devil stuff because like right now we're pretty deep into it.
We kind of just like didn't do anything devil wise.
No, but we can't. We can like the next one we could just devote it to that.
I think we should aim for the devil jump off point for next time and see where it takes us.
I'm down with that.
Because really quickly on the devil, I gotta tell you, I was disturbed in doing some of my little research. When I found like the Church of Satan in San Francisco, and like their stuff is really, it's not as it's like it's not as bad as you think. You're kind of like, I can see if people get into it. But it just says stuff like the nine satanic.
It says new member.
You get a free haircut. I mean,
and you get all the robes you can carry.
The right time.
But it's like here's just like the 11 satanic rules of the earth. It's like do not harm little children, do not kill non-human animals unless you are attacked or for your food. Do not complain about anything to which you need not subject yourself. You know, when walking in open territory, bother no one. If someone bothers you, ask them to stop. If he does not stop, destroy him. And then one of them is do not give opinions or advice unless you are asked. Do not tell your troubles to others unless you are sure they want to hear them. When in another's lair, show him respect or else do not go there. This is, if a guest is in your lair and annoys you, treat him cruelly and without mercy. there's someone who's just like, well, that's actually pretty. But there was a really funny line in here that's saying that they basically they don't hate Christianity because they've kept them in business. I don't know what it is. It's in here.
Well, we'll say that for next
time. Oh, here's it says Satan has been the best friend the church has ever had as he has kept it in business all these years.
There you go.
But yeah, but there's a lot of like, and my list has come along pretty well. It's almost too good. I keep thinking about more and more people. You know, don't. And then like I said, like the catchphrase they like last week. You know, like don't believe in the devil, but we believe in the deal. So, but so Tim, have you seen anything good lately? Like movie wise, what's
anything? I just watched The Expendables based on last week's discussion.
Oh, and I'm the odd man out on that one.
It is.
Well, that's okay. I haven't seen Neon Maniacs yet. No, okay. But I have a find. Yeah. I have a find that I'll talk about after you guys get done.
Okay.
The Expendables. It's worth watching. It's just an over the top action movie, and there are some questions left unanswered. And I mean, it's not a good movie, but it's a good movie. But it's not a good movie. This one dude does just get hit. I'm going to ruin a little bit here.
Okay. Spoilers.
Spoilers.
The situation, and there's these guys holding these people hostage, and Dolph Lundgren pops around the corner, and they've all got like, you know, sniper rifles and stuff, and he shoots this guy and blows his upper torso off into the back wall.
Like it chops him in half?
Yeah, like he shoots like it's like a hand cannon and just blows the top half of this guy's body off into the back wall.
Hell yeah.
So it's where it goes by pretty quick, and there's a lot of them pretty much just run around placing explosives. That's a good portion of the movie.
Now, is Stone Cold in that one? I think I started to ask that last. Yeah. He is? And is he in the second one?
No.
Okay.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
By the way, did you guys see that there's like a new karate movie coming out from like one of the Wu-Tang guys?
Oh,
I saw that. And Batista's in it. Batista plays this guy who can turn his skin to
like
metal.
Like Iron Fist or Black Fist of Steel.
Yeah,
it's with RZA, and it's bloody. I really want to see that too. I know.
Yeah, it looked really good. Yeah. I hate to admit, and I was like Batista, like with like turning himself into like gold skin. I'm like, that's pretty awesome. I felt like such a dork. Like, that's pretty
awesome. Some Tarantino's new movie's coming out here pretty soon.
Yeah, it's like a zombie.
The Django Unchained.
Yeah, that's the one where freaking Crystal guy and Ray Charles. Ray Charles is a slave, and he breaks free in Western America. And this was before he became blind, and he goes and becomes a bounty hunter with the German Nazi guy from Glorious Bastards.
God, and Glorious Bastards, I think that actually has broke my top 10 favorite movies of all
it's
time.
Pretty good.
Which is, I've had a pretty like. It's a pretty I'm some big shit at Fuck Mountain, but it's like that's like ooh, it's ranked in John's list. That's who cares? but it's like for me, like it doesn't move. It hasn't moved a lot over the years. You know, it's like Goodfellas, Fight Club. You know, Tattoo. It's pretty much the same things. But then like that snuck in there. I'm just like, wow, Inglourious Basterds is such a wonderful. I actually watched last time I watched it was when I was having dental work done. Kind of disturbing, but anyway, sorry. But so you enjoyed the Expendables, then Tim? It was like a good palate.
You don't need to spend a lot of money on it or anything, but if you can track it down, it's worth. It's a good way to kill an hour and a half, and just gotta remember those action movies.
Yeah, it's big dumb, and they don't take themselves seriously, so they can get away with a lot of stuff.
Yeah, and you know, it's where I'm curious to see the second one now. Yeah. So I'll say that Eric Roberts is in it. Yeah.
Yeah, Star 80. I'm so upset. I can always every time some Eric Roberts, like you gotta see
so,
Star 80. I tell everyone that.
So I might have something available. But first, I'm gonna briefly go over the Hot Sauce Festival because it really wasn't that exciting.
Oh yeah.
It really wasn't that exciting. I'll tell you one thing I saw that was really weird. I don't know if it's popular in your guys' area, but like we wait for the shuttle to get there. We go down there, and like this Mexican like couple. And then they have a kid. The guy's got a backpack kid thing, and like the wife, the lady has like you know, she's dressed, you know, gonna stay cool, wearing a hat and shades, and she's got these weird white like arm glove things that she's wearing, and at the tips they're all pointed. They're not like fully on her fingers, and she's walking around with them, and it's freaking creepy. It's like she
like Jackie O kind of gloves.
Well, like, think know, like, of like that, but think of like dirty and like looks like it was like sewn from scrapped like fabric and stuff. And she was wearing them, and I'm like, what the hell? Kelly was like the same thing. I'm like, all right, I got a picture. I took a picture of it. I'm like, okay, I don't know what the hell that is. And maybe I'll put it on Facebook and somebody can help me out. I've got a good idea what it is because we take the shuttle to the hot sauce festival. And, like, there's this truck out there, and they're, like, you know, they're advertising a cool way to sweat by wearing this material. So it's, like, Under Armour, but not. And they're handing out these, like, arm sleeves that they were spraying cold water on it. And apparently, like, it's supposed to help cool you down quicker because of the sweat and stuff like that. But I'm still, like, confused because this Mexican lady, like, she didn't, it wasn't, like, sweat or super tight. It was, like, regular, like, shirt fabric. And it was, like, kind of striped, and it was really creepy. I didn't know what the hell that was. So we saw that. We go to the Hot Sauce Festival, and it's a Hot Sauce Festival. So basically they had bands. It was already 100 degrees out, so I was sweating my ass off. So, like, a lot of the sauces didn't really, like, do anything to me. Because I'm used to ghost pepper, which is pretty hot. And, like, some of the booze, like, there's, like, Jim Hobo hot sauce. And then there's, like, Sergeant Pepper hot sauce, which is, like, you know, military. So they have these, like, they have crazy names. But most of them, like, the hottest stuff they had was, like, ghost peppers. But, like, one of the...
What did you put it on when you sampled? Like, just a chip?
Oh, good. I mean, like, I've had enough tortilla chips last me for a while. So, like I had some of that. And, like, there's some crazy shit there. Like, the one surprising thing is that there's a lot of things that were mixed with garlic. And there was, like, pickled peppers and garlic. And there's, like, garlic sauce, stuff like that. Only one booth had scorpion pepper, which is hotter than ghost pepper, even though a lot of booths said that there was, like, ghost pepper's the hottest on the planet. But I'm a hot sauce connoisseur, so I've numbed my senses to a lot of the ghost pepper stuff. You get this dull kind of slow burn. At first when you eat it, it's dull. And then, like, 5 minutes later, it finally comes on and burns you, right? And, like,
how much later?
Five minutes? It still, like, kind of burns 5 minutes later. And
holy shit, that sounds horrible.
Sorry. You acquire a taste to it. But one of the
you're gonna melt the mesh in your swim trunks.
Yes, I'll squirt out some brown medicine for you. And the scorpion pepper stuff was the hottest, and that was really what was affected me. You know, there's some other cool things going around there. There's some stupid... It's like every concert now. They have, like, Verizon, and then they have local city government. They always have these stupid, like, fair... Like what I was talking about with, like, the flea markets and the festivals in the street. They'll have stupid booths that have no sense being there, but they'll be there anyway because they paid the money to have a booth. And then, like, they have, like, you know, people giving out, like, samples. And we did get some new stuff. We got... We resupplied on, like, our chili pepper jelly, which is really awesome. Like, you get, like, some peach mixed with habanero, or you get, like, some apple pie jam with jalapenos in it. It's pretty good combination. So we got that, and then we got some garlic hot sauce because we never had it before. So that was great. The only really creepy thing was that lady wearing those armband things was just nightmare-inducing. It was nightmare fuel. It was nightmare sauce.
Did you keep seeing her too? Like, you saw her?
She went away. We did see some guy sampling stuff who wore a mask that looked like he was a Satanist because he had he was wearing a mask that was all like an evil face with big, like, goat horns, and he was running around sample stuff. That was, I got a picture of that too. I posted, like, a little recap a little bit on the YouTube page, Gonzo Guys. That should be uploaded, FYI, if you guys want to check it out. But on the way back, we stopped by and got a big screen at Goodwill.
Nice. Was it like a flat screen?
No. It was like a big screen, as in it was a tube big. And it was like $20, though. So it, like, fit right in with our, like, our knockoff entertainment system. And we only dropped $20. But because of what we talked about last week, I went in there and I was like, okay, what's going on? You know, do they have any kind of tapes or anything? So they had tapes there, and I think my suspicions were confirmed. I think a lot of tapes nowadays are just, like, popular movies back in the day who are now tapes. You know, like Liar, and, like, you know, stupid movies.
Liar is well represented at those things.
It is. And, you know, what's interesting, I remember when that movie came out, Well, I remember like one Christmas trying to buy that for my sister on DVD and had trouble finding it. And now I know why, because it's all goddamn VHS.
Even on some of the DVDs, I couldn't really find anything interesting. The one thing I did find and that I did pick up, which we might have to do later on this year, is this movie called Santa Claus the Movie. Do you guys remember this?
Yeah,
I have that movie. I have that movie here myself.
Santa Claus the Movie. Which movie are you guys thinking?
With Tim Allen?
Oh, no. I'm thinking, you're talking about the movie Dudley
yes.
Moore.
Oh, no, in the 80s. Yes. Yeah, I've seen it.
John Lithgow and Dudley Moore.
And, yeah, so
I have that one. I have the other one, Santa Claus the Movie.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie. So what do you guys remember about Santa Claus the Movie?
It's where they eat the glowing candy canes and people can fly.
Wow. I don't remember much about that at all.
And then at one point, like the elf, they kind of like kidnap Dudley Moore. He's the elf, and the big evil businessman, John Lithgow, kind of wants to take over Christmas. And so the candy canes that are making everybody, they basically have this magic, like, reindeer feed that makes them fly. It's basically glitter and hay. And then they start making like candy canes out of it, and kids are eating it and like flying around their house, so everybody wants it. But it's also really volatile, so he's got like in the trunk of his little elf car flying around with this kid. And if it gets hot enough or it gets too warm or something, it'll blow up.
Wow.
There's a whole thing with that, and then at one point, if they think at the end, John Lithgow eats a whole bunch of the candy canes to get away from the police, and he flies into space. And
wow.
You know what? I don't remember. I may not have seen it, but that's a pretty good sell. Because, I mean, I'm like, I'd watch that. That sounds pretty good.
I don't see the actual dying, but they show him in space going like, woo, and I'm like, yo, bullshit, he'd be dead. I did that when I was a kid. I thought, why isn't he dead?
Were the candy canes colored brown?
No, they were red. But the something happened.
That's just your copy of Soul.
Yes, right. The tape is worn that thin.
There's a whole thing with Santa Claus coming out to help him, and it's the off season, so everybody's kind of like, he's got his non Santa Claus clothes on and stuff because it's like the middle of summer. Uh-huh. And
is it a tropical shirt? Tell me it's a tropical shirt.
No, he's not. He's not Jimmy Buffett.
Shit. Shit.
He's not parrot head Santa. So.
That's a sad old Santa right there. That's Willie Nelson Santa right there.
But how much did you spend for it? Like a buck? For the VHS, the Santa Claus the Movie?
Oh, 50 cents, actually. The magic 50 Ooh, cents.
That's a good buy.
They didn't have to fish any pockets or anything to pull out moist coins either.
Yeah.
That's not a good buy.
I would definitely watch that because I think a good Christmas movie, you know. Because Christmas really isn't that far away. We'll have a Christmas edition of this, right?
Yeah, you need to watch that movie because, you know, and honestly, I'll put it this way. It's not that bad. I remember as a kid thinking it was an all right kind of just a different
Okay, but you remember that as a kid being pretty good, so.
No, I have not watched it in many, many, many years. So, but John Lithgow is usually okay most stuff.
So we might have some homework for later.
But him go flying into space dying stuck in my head. Hard.
That would stick in my head too. Especially since it came out in 85, which is the same year that the Challenger fucking exploded.
I mean, he doesn't die, but he's like up in outer space. And it's kind
of
like,
what kind
oh,
of mixed
on.
Messages are you sending children? Where it's like, yeah, Santa Claus the Movie, John Lithgow survives in space, right? Like a month after you witness the Challenger blowing up in school. You're sitting as.
Well, maybe. Maybe that's why they didn't want him to blow up, because they thought everyone was so sensitive about that stuff.
No, I mean, he wouldn't explode. He would have been a ball of, like, a big thing of blood and guts. I think that would probably put a downer on
him. You implode, don't you?
Well,
you kind of, like, no. Bubble up.
I tell you what, though, I would love to see the tape from the experiment for that, though.
I mean, the very least, there's going to be some kind of gore.
Your eyes would pop out now, and, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger on Mars from the old Total Recall.
Oh yeah, no. Or they could have always just shown it from a distance, like Lithgow floating into space, yeah. And then you just kind of see a pop and a red mist.
The other kicker is, I think the kid is like from an abusive home, and he goes to live with Santa Claus.
Oh my god! Now I have to.
Oh yeah, that's a good sell.
The kid is not from the abused home, but then they find this girl who is, and then like that's his girlfriend. You know, as much as like a grade school kid can have a girlfriend.
They're gonna have a great marriage too. Two abused kids. That's always a good idea.
A bunch of dwarves, an old guy, his wife, and some reindeer.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, that's going to be a healthy life for him.
There's some serious fetish issues there. So,
well, I have two movies to talk about.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, actually, it's really weird because like Alex and I had a little time together yesterday, just hanging out, and I was trying to. We were looking for Iron Man because he'd never seen Iron Man, which I've told him that's like the best. I mean, the Avengers and the Dark Knight, but I'm like, I thought Iron Man was a really good movie, the first one. I don't like the second one. But so we're going through the on demand and we're trying to find something like free. I was trying to get him to watch Superman 2, and he didn't want to watch it. So, but we ended up watching Flash Gordon. Do you remember that movie from the 80s?
That's a classic. That is a classic.
It's really good. It's still, I mean, and I didn't realize it was a Dino De Laurentiis film.
Is Timothy Dalton?
Yes.
Yeah, he's like the Robin Hood kind of guy.
Yeah.
He's dressed in the green. And it really, I didn't think it was going to hold his attention. I thought he was going to be like, this is cheesy. But it was interesting because, you know, he picked up on the whole thing, too, of like, well, these guys really, like, the special effects, it's not all computer generated. Like, they really had to work at, like, the effects and everything. And the thing that stuck to me about the movie, what I remember the parts, I remember the putting the hands in the log when, like, the trial test, you know, you had to do so the thing wouldn't stab you or wouldn't bite you when you would die. But there's some pretty crazy violence, and it's also kind of a sexual movie. Like, the thought when he's communicating with Dale, like, the woman, like, and he's sitting there communicating with her, and then this girl's, like, talking to him. Yeah, and the music, too.
Oh, wow.
It sure sounds like Queen.
And you know what? It is. It is Queen. And that's, it's funny because it says music by Queen. That's the last thing on the.
No.
And
it was
like, and when we were playing,
all right, it's much cooler now.
We were playing tennis, and he was picking up some of the balls, and I just hear this from across the court. I just hear this flash. Oh. It's so, like, stuck in his head.
You kind of hear something like this.
Dude, that's some bass in it. All right, that's it. The gauntlet has been thrown. Next time we do this, I'm just going to be drinking chocolate milk and eating cauliflower.
Sorry.
I can't.
I was going to say, I was going to warn you guys. I was at the Hot Sauce Festival. I just couldn't. I didn't know. And now it's starting.
No, I'm so happy that somebody did that. It's like when it's an official event now. It's like somebody did it. It's like, it's like the first pitch to thrown out the game.
Yes. Dick and fart jokes reign supreme. An actual fart. Nice.
So, yeah, it's like you can't go. I should probably just even I was like, here I am, like, being like, oh, it was so cute, and the song was stuck in his head. He enjoyed it, and it's pretty. There's definitely some serious cheesiness to it, but it's a fun movie. It really is. But the part I was talking about, like the when it was kind of sexual, he's talking to the lady like through the telekinesis kind of thing, you know, and he goes. And this woman is, like, trying to seduce him, like, Ming's daughter, you know, Emperor Ming's daughter. And he just goes, wow, this woman, I can't believe she's really turning me on. And she's like, what was that? He's like, nothing.
it's kind of like an answer to Barbarella, right? Because Barbarella was, like, super sexual. And, like, that was when Jane Fonda was naked in, too.
Yeah, at the start, the opening to Barbarella, a lot of people are like, that's, like, the most erotic thing in the world. And I'm like, hey, it's pretty good. I mean, it's but it's a really fun movie, and Max van Sydow as Ming was just awesome. He looks incredible.
How did I never know that was Queen?
I don't know.
I picked up on that.
When I was a kid.
I'm like, boy, that sounds like Queen.
It is, dude.
Well, that's why I sound like them. It's an amazing coincidence.
It was really good. I mean, it was enjoyable. It was kind of one of those hidden gems.
I'm gonna have to watch that again now.
Well, and I'm curious too, because like that guy, like he was such like a movie star kind of guy. Like when I was a kid, like I make jokes about like Matt Houston and the mustache and everything, but like that to me was like that's what I wanted to be when I was a kid. Like that's like the kind of dude you want to be, you know. And like Flash Gordon to me, I was like that guy's like blonde hair, he's a muscly guy, he's good with the ladies, he can fight, you know what I mean? It sounds so lame, but then it's like my life didn't turn out anything remotely. I still watch it at 38 years old and be like, I'm gonna be Flash Gordon someday. Once I'm my receding hairline stops and I was, but it was good, it was really good.
What was the other movie?
Oh, the other thing, I started talking a little bit about that Perkins 14 that I got from that $5 disc at Walmart where the Horror Fest, you know, the Films After Dark.
Yeah, I was talking
a little bit about that.
Yeah.
I finished it today, and it took some really interesting turns. I don't know if it's like, if it really counts as like one of those like bad movies, because it went an interesting route, and it wasn't like it took itself serious, but if I can find it, I should send you a picture of the guy, the hero, because remember I said the hero kind of looked like Nosferatu kind of thing?
Yeah.
I guess he's like an English, like stage, like a, in England, I guess he's, and he's also in Game of Thrones, they said.
Oh.
As well. Here, I'll send you the picture.
I bet we know who he is, though.
The guy's name, I can't remember what his name is. But then, and I'm also going to send you an image, too, of what the poster looks like, because the poster was what drew me into the movie.
Oh, yeah. I've seen that on Wikipedia.
The poster, I thought, was really fascinating. Because the guy kind of like, wow, it's like a weird Robert Blake-looking thing. But the movie, it's not bad. It's like this guy, basically a synopsis is like, there's this town. They really never say how big or small the town is, but I assume it's pretty small. But there were 14 kids taken, and they were never found. And the sheriff's kid was, or a police officer's kid was the 14th. And so, like, I guess 10 years later, like, this guy, he's really obsessed with it. Like, his family's kind of falling apart. And then this weird guy is in the jail, and he starts talking, and he starts kind of putting one and one together. And I don't know if you guys want me to totally spoil and ruin it or not.
I kind of spoiled Flash Gordon with my butthole, so.
go ahead and do it. Okay, so anyhow, what's interesting, and even when someone spoils stuff, I sometimes want to go back and see it. It's almost like it's like it's a commercial almost. So you find out that this guy, he figures out that this guy is the one that kidnapped his kid, or like abducted his kid. And he ends up like sending his friend over, and his friend ends up going to the guy's house, and the guy goes in there, and like basically there's all these kids in cages and such, and he hits the switch, and like one of the kids comes out, and it kills him. So then what happens is these kids, this is like 10 years later, so they're like 20s, and they're running through this town just murdering everybody and killing him. Well, it turns out, like, the guy has kept these people and these kids in captivity, and he's filmed them all, like, all this stuff. And he showed these films, like, the guy, when he finds the dad, when he goes there to find his friend, he sees all these tapes, and he puts the tape in, and he sees the abduction and, like, the filming of his kid. So he knows this guy did take his kid. But this guy, for, like, 10 years, has been, like, psychologically messing up these kids and giving them PCP. So they're all fucked up, like zombie super strength and crazy. Because like the first time when they get attacked, when the guy does, he shoots at the kid several times, and the kid gets up and comes after him some more. And they're like, "What's going on? What is?" So it's not supernatural. It's just like they've been so doped up, and they're just in this crazy state.
So I'm reading the IMDb synopsis of it, and apparently it was part of a contest from some website called Massify.com. And it was like people were writers and stuff were invited to upload story pictures, and like the community members voted on it, and they voted this synopsis to be like to win and get funding and to get made.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, it's really watchable. The only thing that my only complaint about it, and I have this complaint with most horror films, is they always go to that tried and true thing where somebody is trapped, and in this movie they get trapped in the police station. But But what I do like about it is where it like I think smaller, like more independent movies, especially the horror fest films, like they don't always go the cliche route where everything turns out okay. Like this one, just it ends miserably for everybody. And there's no happy ending to it. And you know, when you think that there's going to be like, and I don't want to totally spoil it, but when you get to the end and you're thinking, okay, well, you know, it's going to be a hard road, but you know, we can fix this. And it's like, oh no, I guess not. So it's not bad. It's pretty good. I mean, I it's like a solid B. You know, I mean, it wasn't like this is an amazing movie. You should see it. But I guess I just appreciate more. Like we were talking about, I wouldn't say it's like sincerity, but I just appreciate it when something bad or good if it tries something different. Yeah. And I thought the concept was interesting. It's like okay, abducted kids, and you're like, oh well, this guy's just been, but then they kill the guy who actually did the abducting pretty early on, and then you're like, well, how is there still another hour left of the movie if the mastermind is gone? And the reason it is because these kids have, but it's interesting too because that sounds like they're just going through town just killing everybody, like, you know, like because they're calling the National Guard and it's like a state of alert and everything, or state of emergency. So but it's you know, I thought the cover was, like I said, the cover drove me in, and I think that, you know, like what we were saying, like $5 and it's like 8 movies, it's like, you know, it's like less than $1. It was definitely worth
I'll buy that for $1.
I love that for RoboCop. Yeah. That still makes me laugh. Oh man, RoboCop has like one of my favorite scenes of all time when the slushy man gets hit by the car at the end. That scene just shows into my psyche. Like that used to just make me laugh and laugh when I was a kid.
He just turns to goo.
Yeah, it was like if someone just took a strawberry slushy and just threw it on the windshield.
You totally have right.
So yeah, those are the two. Like watching Flash Gordon yesterday, and I mean, it's not. I feel like I'm not bringing a whole lot. Like I watched a couple of movies. Like Tim's becoming Batman, Hokey is seeing like amazing Doctor Who and Willie Nelson. And,
I also watched Troll 2 over the weekend.
Ooh, were you lost not seeing Troll 1?
No.
I saw the documentary
that none of it had to do with the continuity from the first to the second.
Are you talking the new Troll or that's Troll Hunter?
I'm talking about Troll 2, one of the, like, it's kind of become like a little cult hit with everybody they show.
You see the documentary for that?
They actually showed the channel, as I was at my dad's, and he has the Chiller channel, and they showed Troll 2 and they showed the documentary after it.
The documentary is fascinating.
It's really interesting. The people, a lot of the people are really likable, and one of the guys is like, the guy who plays the dad is such a, he's terrible. He's a terrible actor. And he's really a dentist now. But he remembers like when people started he said, I remember when it started showing up on HBO and Cinemax, because people would start calling him and saying, I've seen you in this movie. And he's like, just turn it off now because it doesn't get better.
He's actually telling people not to watch it.
No, and he's like the nicest guy in the world when you see him profiled. Like he's in this little town, Alabama. He's a dentist. He does a lot of free dental work for underprivileged kids. And he's like, he dresses up like this big fat tooth fairy in their little annual parade and rides around on rollerblades. And he's like a really sweet, nice man. And he's like the first one to be like, it's terrible. My acting is awful.
So the Troll 2. So those, when were those shot? Is like, is those 80s or 90s?
Troll 2 is like 86, I think.
Wow. I want to say, you know what, we said so earlier
bad.
About
so bad. Oh god.
Like
so
that
bad.
Like the Alamo makes you feel like less alone, and it's like that when you just said that there were people that made a documentary about the Troll movies, I'm like, I don't feel so bad and alone.
Yeah, exactly.
There's somebody who put some time and effort into something like, we need to make a documentary about
To be
Troll.
Fair, the person who made the documentary was the little kid in the movie. So, but at the same time, he was the first one. It was interesting. They showed the people going to see it in movie theaters and how it's making all this. It basically, I mean, when they show it, people go to it and they shout out lines and they act it out.
Yeah.
Wow. Is that Troll Hunter movie good? Because I saw a little clip of it. It looked pretty good.
I saw it. It's awesome. It's worth it.
Awesome. Really?
No,
I saw the part I saw that they was like, they were on a bridge and it was like just destroying things and like it was eating. I want to say it was like eating cows or something like
it's,
that.
It's a good mix of fantasy and reality. It does a good job to at negotiating both lines.
Okay.
It's worth it. It really is.
How about if we could have a troll episode in the future? All troll.
Now I kind of want to see Troll 1 now that I've seen Troll 2. Because Troll 2 is so bad. The first one actually must have been kind of competent because they made a second one. So.
Well, but Tim, explain Critters then.
The only thing I remember about Critters 2 was when the guys came down with the spaceship and the one alien turned into the lady that was in Playboy, and I just remember seeing boobs.
That is the, kind of a discussion for another episode or epidose. I've been taking notes. I told Tim this, and it's like this ridiculous, like things like I've been trying to keep notes of what I remember from a kid, like what stuck with me, like images from movies that like kind of shaped things, you know. And that's like one of those moments. Like you're like you remember the alien coming down and it turning to boobs. It's like, you know, it's like, oh yes. It's like that helped shape who I am.
That would be fun to do. That'd be really fun to do.
Yeah. Well, because they come into my mind like all the time. I don't know where if I had my other notebook I could tell you, but unfortunately the only one I remember now is like the first time like I saw some bizarre male nudity. And it was in that movie Cry Wolf. You remember that? It was the guy who played Toad in American Graffiti, the little nerdy guy with the glasses. There was this movie when he's with the wolves and he's studying, he's like a scientist. But there's this disturbing scene where he's just wearing socks and his hiking boots and he's running with a pack of wolves. And it's just not something you want to see.
I'm telling you right now, I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I wish I wouldn't have, but maybe that kind of explains like why. It's like I would have been fine if I wouldn't have seen Floppy Dong.
With wolves.
With wolves.
Not like the lone wolf, Chuck Norris.
That'd be donging with wolves.
Wow.
Do you guys, what was the Chuck Norris movie? Was it Hero in the Terror when the guy was like some sort of a evil guy that was killing everybody and at the end like he ends up killing him and like throwing him in a well? Is that Hero in the Terror?
I don't remember.
Because there's a scene in that movie that scared the bejesus out of me where there's like this half built house and the killer thing is like chasing him and then like the woman like thinks she's safe, she comes out of the closet and he just snaps her neck. And there's something about the way it was shot that just terrified me. Yeah. Here's the other thing I was thinking about with that Perkins 14. There were some parts where, I've wondered like this, like when if you're like a killer and you're like you're one of these bad guys. That's bad timing. I didn't even say it.
Wrong time. I didn't know how to go.
But you think about it, like okay. Like, think about the times when, like, you're going to scare somebody just in your life, right? And you're so excited when you see them walking, and you're like, oh, my God, they totally don't know I'm just about to jump out and scare them. I just wonder if, like, the killer people, if, like, there's that little bit of giddiness, like, did they get that?
I don't know. That's a good question.
It's, like, in the mind of, like, those kind of things. I always wonder, like Friday the 13th, like, you know, it's dark, and they're in the woods, it's scary, and then all of a sudden, like, they're like... Oh my god, they're totally following this. They're coming right around.
It's kinda like when a cat gets ready to pounce and the last second you can see its hind quarters get even more excited.
Yeah. I mean just wonder if like under that hockey mask there's some giddiness, like, oh my god, they're totally falling for it. They're coming right around that corner. I'm so gonna machete the fuck out of them.
the hillbillies in Deliverance are kinda giggling in the woods when they're watching.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just silly. Silly. They're just fun. They're
just fun little hillbillies.
Yeah, they're like, oh goodness, oh, Billy Bob and his raven. Yeah, my parents, my dad showed me that movie at way too young of an age as well. There's so many movies, I'm like, boy, that's some bad parenting on some of that, man. Like, Animal House at like 5 or 6 years old. Oof, that's not good. Explains a lot, but... But so, what do you guys think?
We should definitely do the devil episode. Next time. I was lame-o on that because I was busy out cavorting around the.
No, that's the cavorting is better than sitting around, like, looking at what stuff that I should be doing for work, like working on a presentation. I'm like, I need to research the devil in the 80s some more.
I think this is more important than that job, so.
That's what I'm thinking. But we gave a little sample with a little of the Church of Satan stuff. I bookmarked
want to do that next. I'm intrigued. Not in a satanic way, but more of in, like, wow, that's interesting. I never knew any of that.
It makes sense. I mean, some of it, and it's like, I wanted to, before we sign off,
I want to sign off, but then I also want to, like, run some things.
Sure. But to revisit the Well of the Truly Tasteless Joke books, mm-hmm. I did this, like, I found on Google Books, I found one of, because I was going to go to the storage space. I told Tim that we should have, maybe, like, he tells one of his from his book, but so I found on Google, like, this is the table of contents to one of the books. Okay, we have, these are the subjects: dead baby, Helen Keller, Polish, Jewish, wasp, black, very variety of ethnic jokes, homosexual, handicapped, jokes for the blind, religion, female anatomy, male anatomy, cruelty to animals, miscellaneous, and the last chapter, too tasteless to be included in that. So the one that made me laugh, and there was a couple of, and this is, it's, I don't like dead baby jokes. It's
not, I have plenty of them for you if you want.
So the Helen Keller section was what made me laugh. It was, there was, what did Helen Keller do when she fell down on the well?
I know what this one is.
She screamed her hands off. There we go. Oh, that was
that was perfect.
Yeah, that's genius. But no, I just, like, I saw this, I was like, why is that? Why did I laugh? I just, like, laughed to your pants, but I went,
that's awesome. Okay, so next time we'll do the devil stuff then, right? I guess this time it was like the medical episode, really.
It was a health and wellness mixed with movie reviews.
Yeah, well, we always talk about bad movies. So,
around medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I guess it was medicine because there's doctors involved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, okay, so next time we'll actually get into the devil and really get into the devil and figure out why it was so popular in the 80s and stuff like that. That sounds like a good next step.
I think that's next epidos.
Yeah,
we'll just start out right into the devil, because I was really into the, I like the backwards music thing. That was pretty good. so some of those were good, but yeah, that's, I think it was pretty well. And we now have, by the way, we're done recording.
No,
right?
Here, hold on. All right.
Sign off.
Wait, do we need to? How do you even want to sign off?
We don't have a sign off. We kind of just started. So what do we say? Well, yeah. Last time we ended with the Sunny Boy theme song.
Yeah. What would be appropriate on this one?
I know it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, man.
That will work.
Or I just have a clip of Tim saying, I didn't know it was Queen, and then he goes into that.
And then I fart over it.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's a parody of the song. Alright, well, until next time, we'll get to the devils, but we'll do some Flash. Alright, all right. Cool.
A good way to end off.
Alright.
Till next time, Your Majesty.
The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Most effective, Your Majesty. Will you destroy this Earth?
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.